Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
SackJobs.com is a click away. At SackJobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Iraqis are reacting calmly so far to words Saddam Hussein will be executed by hanging in days or weeks. That sentence firmed by the highest appeals court in the country. CBS's Pete Gow.
The announcement itself from the Iraqi High Tribunal didn't come until after darkfall. And then by the time they gave a press conference and detailing more precisely their findings, Iraq was already under curfew. So there hasn't really been the opportunity for the kind of rallies and demonstrations that we're so used to seeing after such announcements.
The what next debate for the U.S. in Iraq bubbles on. CBS's Mark Noller with the president in Crawford, Texas.
Coming up with a plan for a new way forward in Iraq tops the agenda for President Bush while at his ranch. He'll confer about it Thursday with members of his National Security Council, including Vice President Cheney, Secretary of State Rice, and Defense Secretary Gates. One option known to be under consideration is an increase in the number of U.S. forces in Iraq.
On that, Senator Joe Biden of Delaware.
I want to make it clear I totally oppose the surging of additional American troops into Baghdad.
And Biden announced today he will run for the Democratic nomination for president. The after-Christmas shopping frenzy is going full tilt. Boogie Now, with deep discounts, advertised as much as 70%. If, on the other hand, your business is Amazon.com, you already have a smile on your face.
This year it was, once again, our best ever.
That's Craig Berman.
Our busiest day, we shipped worldwide, we shipped over 3.4 million units.
Hey, guys, another great reason to cut back on the waistline.
Here's a way for men to decrease their risk of developing an aggressive form of prostate cancer. Lose weight. A study in the journal Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention finds that men who dropped at least 11 pounds had a 42% reduced risk compared to men whose weight remained the same. This study followed nearly 70,000 men over a 10-year period.
CBS's Barry Bagnato in Washington. Long-term use of anti-heartburn acid reflux medicines may be bad for your bones. Why? They may inhibit the absorption of calcium, and that's crucial for our bones as we get older. Study by the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine found a 44% higher risk of hip fracture for those who take those medicines.
This is a man's world.
James Brown's funeral plans are set. It'll be open to the public in Augusta, Georgia, at the James Brown Arena, seating capacity about 8,500. The body will lie in repose at the Apollo Theater in New York City on Thursday, where fans can pay their respects.
Watch me!
James Brown, godfather of soul, died on Monday of heart failure in Atlanta. He was 73. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 65 points today to close at about 12,408. The NASDAQ up about 12 points on the day. This is CBS News.
Kenny Mayne here with Walt at the driving range.
Right in the woods, shanked it.
Walt's a bad driver when it comes to golfing.
Terrible.
But he's a good driver on the road, and Progressive Direct rewards good drivers.
Come on, Walt. Once.
In fact, good drivers like Walt, who switched to Progressive last year, saved hundreds.
Ah, jeez. Look at the four!
Which can buy Walt some golf lessons. See what you can save. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
I love this game!
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Rates and potential savings will vary.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One-Day Cold Sores Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
Ethiopian officials say its troops are halfway to crushing an Islamist stronghold in Mogadishu, which threatens them. from Somalia. CBS's Charles Wolfson.
While urging maximum restraint to protect civilians, the State Department said it supported military operations by Ethiopian troops acting inside Somalia. Spokesman Gonzalo Gallegos said the U.S. is concerned by the impact the fighting is having on civilians and warned we do not believe this can be resolved on the battlefield. Ethiopia's troops are trying to counter Islamic militias acting inside Somalia.
A Fort Walton Beach man who ran an adult novelty and clothing store has been busted for putting a camera in the dressing room. Police say the clock radio hid a tiny camera at the sexy lady shop in Crestview, Florida. The man claimed he knew nothing about the camera in the clock, said he bought it secondhand. They also found recording equipment. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
This is a test of the
new rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Show on Air America Radio.
6 minutes after the hour, I am Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow this week, coming to you live from Madison, Wisconsin, where I have one hell of an Air America story for you to bring you in the next hour. First, I wanted to start getting right into the dirt. I don't know if you are aware, but Christmas is the time of year. Tis the season for news dumps, for starters, and we want to start with that. First and foremost, a breaking story out of my neck of the woods here in Madison. And again, we'll bring you the story of the salvation of Air America Radio here in Madison, Wisconsin, making national news and the New York Times over the holiday. In the next hour, with former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin, I wanted to start this evening, though, about a story here from Madison that may interest you, and it has to do with the 42-year-old stop animation special you may know as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I know it well. Actually, I know it verbatim because for a year or so when I was growing up, my younger sister played the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer special when we first got a VCR over and over again for roughly until August, following the Christmas when we recorded it. So I could sing you all the parts, but instead of using my beautiful voice this evening for you, I thought I'd bring you some conspiracy theory, I guess you'd call it, about what took place on our TV station here in Madison, specifically the preemption of the 42nd year of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Maybe you are familiar with the story, and may I just say happy holiday season to everybody this evening, and thank you to Rachel Maddow for allowing me to fill in. I have been unemployed. This has been an obviously rough Christmas for me because, well, we were in danger of losing our Air America affiliate here in Madison, Wisconsin, and fortunately we had a ground surge of people power that has kept it on the air. That information breaking late last week, actually right here on the Rachel Maddow Show. Thank you, Rachel, for keeping in touch with what was taking place with your Air America, our Air America affiliate here in Madison. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Maybe you're familiar with it. It's a story of a dentist. Is this part of the liberal media agenda? Is there something more going on here? You know that Happy Feet, according to the right-wing talking heads, the Penguin musical, has a liberal agenda talking about global warming, and that's just not true. The polar bears are drowning because they can't swim well. That's all there is to it, really. The liberal media agenda may have played a part in the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer preemption. Perhaps you are familiar with a young dentist named Hermie.
I just don't like to make toys.
What?
I'd like to be a dentist.
A dentist?
1964, this show premiered, and we didn't get it this year in Madison. And I'm wondering, what's the real story behind Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Could it possibly be that, I don't know if you got your Christmas card from the White House this year, but I got mine, and it was a beautiful photograph of the White House from Pennsylvania Avenue from behind the wrought iron fence with a homeless man in front of it, and a black homeless man sitting out in front of the wrought iron fence, and it had a nice little slogan on the bottom, "Peace on Earth, asterisk, goodwill toward man, asterisk, asterisk." The first asterisk, "Peace on Earth." It said at the bottom in small print, "as long as it's in gated communities with fenced-in yards and ADT security systems." And then "goodwill toward men," the two asterisks there, and in small print at the bottom of the Christmas card from the White House, it read, "as long as they're white heterosexual men." That brings us to Hermie, the dentist, and whether or not we were preempted here in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin, the liberal mecca, because there is a liberal agenda with this stop animation Christmas holiday story.
Hey, what do you say we both be independent together, huh?
You wouldn't mind my red nose?
Not if you don't mind me being a dentist.
It's a deal.
Dentist, right. And understanding in 1964, wouldn't that be the equivalent of saying tolerance in 2006? And for some, that's just not Christian. We have a weatherman here in Madison, Wisconsin, Elmer Childress, who sang a beautiful hymn called "Let's Keep the Christ in Christmas." To me, personally, it's not as important as the celebration itself. Whatever you celebrate, it's the celebration that always matters to me. And we'll wrap up the show with your calls this evening, talking about James Brown, one of the masters of celebration, and how important he was to our lives and our civil rights. But back to Rudolph for a second, since this is the spirit of the season. Does understanding in 1964 really mean tolerance in 2006? Could it possibly Hermie as a dentist really is a euphemism for Hermie is gay? Is this why it's preempted? Like Happy Feet? Like a purple Teletubby? Like all the other My Two Mommies, the book? Is this some sort of grand liberal media agenda? Well, not here in Madison, Wisconsin, as we'll tell you the story, but I thought I'd bring it up in keeping with the spirit of Christmas and the story that my mom brought back from Christmas Eve Mass, Midnight Mass. Was raised as a Catholic, which means, I don't really celebrate the season like that. I celebrate the celebration myself, but my mom came back from Christmas Eve Mass, and I was with my family over the holiday, and she says, shaking her head, and what happened? Beautiful service, wonderful choir, but she didn't understand the intolerance and how that fit into the teachings of the Christian faith, especially in this holiday, the peace on earth, goodwill toward men, peace on earth in gated communities with fenced-in yards and ADT security systems, goodwill toward white heterosexual men. I worry that sometimes when we anthropomorphize our idea of God, that what ends up happening is God ends up liking the same things we like and hating the same things we hate. And I can boil hate down to two basic ideas. We hate things in others that we don't understand, or we hate things in others that we recognize in ourselves but do not accept. And from that hatred, from that premise, you can go out and hate anything, whether it's something you that's not like you or is like you. It doesn't fit with the spirit of the season, no matter what you are celebrating, and it is the celebration that counts. We start this evening filling in for Rachel Maddow, talking about the spirit of this season, looking forward to 2007 and what it might bring. The spirit of the season, as we look on what weighed heavily on me, and that was being unemployed and making paper mache gifts for my family for Christmas. I could afford the newspaper and the flour and the paste. And also, what weighs heavy on me, and that is the war in Iraq. And we want to begin there today. As it is, the news is out, if you have heard, that Saddam Hussein has been sentenced to hang. No word yet on whether it will be public or how soon it will be that will be, but it will be very soon. This will be our idea of crime and punishment. That we will sentence this man to death. No doubt he's done terrible things, but I've never agreed with the war in Iraq, and as we reach the verge of the fourth-year anniversary, it is difficult for me to think of anything other than, in this holiday season, what we are doing, you and I, are responsible for in this war. And it weighs on me, and I hope it weighs on you, because while while we are going to hang Saddam Hussein, we still have torture, according to the British military, in hallowed halls of the Iraqi government. We are playing out the same scenario that started the war in Iraq with Iran right now. Iran vowed Sunday to push forward efforts to enrich uranium, according to the AP, and change its reactions with the International Nuclear Watchdog, the International Atomic Energy Association, after the UN Security Council imposed sanctions after working to get them passed for 2 months. That will be designed to stop the country's nuclear program. The Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, said he was sorry that the West lost its chance to make amends with Iran. And it goes back to whether or not God sees through our eyes or we see through his, if you believe in it. And for me, I was just meeting with the Freedom From Religion Foundation folks before the show, and they have dubbed me an interconnectivist. I do believe in something bigger than us. It is happens to be personally, and you can disagree, and that's fine. The foundation of my progressive politics, and when I look at the war in Iran, Iraq, and possibly the inevitable war in Iran, I feel that interconnectivist. I feel that it is partly my responsibility in my country with my democracy to speak out against it, because we're seeing again played out in Iran what we saw played out in Iraq. These sanctions from the UN, these sanctions won't work. Iran is saying this already, and we are playing the same script out again. Iran's top nuclear negotiator has said now that the resolution for UN sanctions made his country more decisive in realizing their nuclear dreams. A couple of milestones in Iraq that also must be mentioned this evening, and that is that the death toll for American troops in Iraq has surpassed the death toll that we faced on September 11, 2001. Another milestone, 12,000 police officers in Iraq have now died in the line of duty since our invasion in 2003. The announcement follows a suicide bomb attack, killing 7 policemen, wounding 20 others during a morning parade at a base north of Baghdad this weekend. Security forces are some of the few jobs available with a huge unemployment rate. An American soldier died Monday in Baghdad in a roadside bomb attack yesterday. In Sunni-controlled Anbar province, 2 American soldiers were killed in fighting on Sunday. People with families celebrating the holidays without anything to celebrate. It puts into perspective my papier-mâché gifts that I made for my parents this Christmas, but it also puts into perspective our responsibility. And as we get into the next hour talking about saving Air America here in Madison, Wisconsin, we talk about the power of the people. And so I encourage happy holidays to everybody, whatever you celebrate. I'm celebrating the celebration itself, me personally. And I am looking towards 2007 as a push to end the war in Iraq, following the Iraq Study Group's suggestions that not only should we reduce troops by 2008, but we should also increase those troops training Iraqis to take over their own country. Now, this is, of course, the Iraq Study Group that our Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, was a part of until he was nominated to be the next Secretary of Defense in the anybody but Rumsfeld camp. This is where we start this evening, because this is the story of my holiday, and it is thinking about my democracy, my government, and my responsibility to end this godforsaken, unjustifiable war in Iraq. It is on my hands. And that's the way I feel. So in the spirit of the season, we stand up for all the dentists of the world. We stand with Rudolph, and we also stand with our brothers and sisters around the world, no matter accepting, embracing their differences. That's the way I understand my interconnectivist religion, of which I celebrate this holiday season. Understanding, accepting differences, accepting that in others, which we despise in ourselves, and taking it out on ourselves. We will also talk about civil rights this evening, as James Brown passed away at the age of 73, taking your calls with Air America. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow on The Rachel Maddow Show. It is 18 minutes past the hour. We continue our assault on the season next here on Air America Radio.
You're listening to The Rachel Maddow Show. Nerds, welcome.
Well, I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
On Air America Radio.
It's Enid Live, weekday afternoon.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
Of alleged torture from Iraqi government, specifically the Department of Interior. And that's our government, by the way, I may remind you. And also in a strange news dump over the holidays that deserves to be noticed, President is going to unveil a new course for troubled U.S. involvement in Iraq. And that, of course, is absolutely ignoring the Iraq study group's recommendations and going straight for more troop strength, more bombs, more guns. Even though the Iraq study group said one thing we could do was take the 4,000 troops that are training Iraqis right now and speed up that process by increasing those troops to 20,000, that's not what we're doing. We're putting more foot soldiers on the ground, more army, more Marines. And my heart goes out to the families of those in the service this holiday and every day for that matter, and those that have served. Part of my progressive politics personally comes from the fact that my father was a Vietnam veteran, and the service that he gave to our nation really gave me perspective of the Iraq War from a soldier. I'll be honest with you, I don't have what it takes. I couldn't do it. And my father did, and I respect him for it and all other veterans. So now, instead of following the Iraq Study Group's suggestions, which was going to be, I remind you, President Bush is way out of this mess in Iraq, he is going to increase troop strength, but not increase the number of troops that will be training Iraqis. Even though the Iraqis seem to, and now he's got the okay from General George Casey, who just a year ago, a complete reversal, said, this is a quote, and I got this off of thinkprogress.org, and thanks for them for posting it. General Casey rejected a troop increase in Iraq a year ago, saying, in Iraq, less coalition at this point in time is better. That's a quote. Less is better because it doesn't feed the notion of occupation. It doesn't work the culture of dependency. It doesn't lengthen the time for Iraqi forces to be self-reliant. It doesn't expose coalition forces to risk when there are Iraqi forces who are capable of standing up and doing it. Now, ask yourself whether General George Casey's about-face about troop strength in Iraq is about conditions on the ground or politicians here at home. What do you think? The other point is that Iran, we've now found, Christmas Eve it was reported that American military is holding at least 4 Iranians in Iraq. 2 of them are Iranian diplomats, but they're now saying that this is a new reason, and we'll talk about this next, that we should go after Iran. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow on The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
It's The Morning Retort with...
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
percent in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. And can you hear the sound of the stereo? The subliminal mind f***ed America.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it, because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
At 34 minutes past the hour, I am Lee Rayburn, live from Madison, Wisconsin this evening, filling in for Rachel Maddow on The Rachel Maddow Show. And thank you to Rachel and all the gang back at Air America for giving me this great opportunity. I've been off the air for a month, and let me tell you, it's not like riding a bicycle. The story will be told in the next hour about the salvation of Air America Radio in Madison, Wisconsin, as it is a story that applies across the coast. It is about people power, and this idea that people can't change the system is bunk. And we need to recognize that. I was talking before the bottom of the hour about four Iranians that have been caught and captured in Iraq. Two Iranians were diplomats, and they have been detained, and they had papers showing that they were accredited to work in Iraq. Now, this is going to be used by the right-wing talking heads when they get back from their vacation about, of course, Iranians actually ruling the roost in Iraq, that this isn't about Iraq independence and Iraq insurgents, Iraqis fighting against an occupation, but this is about, as the president said so eloquently a number of times last week, an ideological struggle, yes, between occupation and freedom and sovereignty. This is an ideological struggle. These four Iranians in Iraq, it needs to be pointed out, are now going to be used as an excuse and reason why Iran should be, we should rattle our saber against Iran. That these four Iranians that have been detained by American military are evidence, in fact, that Iran is the insurgency. But again, using that logic, you could then apply the four homophobic Republicans and televangelists who have been caught to saying that then all homophobic Republican and televangelists are, in fact, gay. So, of course, it's a flaw in logic. But then again, so is the justification for this war in the first place, which brings us to Kathy from Long Beach, New Jersey. Kathy, happy holidays to you.
It's a branch, not Long Beach.
My mistake. That would be New York.
They're both nice places. All right, number one.
Yes.
I have two things, if I could. I heard John Murtha say about 3-4 months ago, he said there's no alternatives here for Iran. And he just said, don't listen to all the saber rattling. You know, it's hyperbole. Because he said we have no options there. And I hope he's right, John Murtha, and I do trust him.
Well, what would our options be? Would be a massive bombing campaign, and that would be devastating. Well as to the Iranians, who are, you know, the powers that be blow my mind because the people don't want war, and yet we are dragged into the war by the powers that be, and we're meant to hate these other people, and the Iranians, of course, are meant to hate the Americans, but it always boils down to economics in the end. It's not about love and hate, it's about the bottom dollar.
Yeah, it's about the bottom dollar. And my other little statement is, I'm a county committee woman here in Long Branch, mm-hmm. and I know my congressman very, very well. And just before this idiot war started, I knew that it was all BS about the weapons. And he said, I said, Frank Pallone's my congressman. He's unbelievable. And I said, Frank, does this have anything to do with weapons? He said, no, Kathy, it doesn't. Well, then I knew right off the get-go that it had nothing. So I knew this whole thing was BS. And not for anything, you know. So, I mean, I don't want to hear any more about war.
Neither do I, although we're going to have to continue to push. Just because Democrats have regained control of our legislature, we need to continue to push to bring the troops home. Nothing will happen until we begin to diminish our forces and end what appears to all others as an occupation. I appreciate the call, Kathy. I want to turn our attention now to theft and outrage. Crime and punishment in the spirit of the season. This yesterday from New York. Christmas in Queens, $30,000 stolen from a Catholic church in Queens. Two men went into the back, took out a safe, stealing between $20,000 and $30,000 after morning mass. How dare they? The nation is outraged that a church has had $30,000 stolen from, and well, we should. That's theft. But keep it in perspective with all the other thefts taking place right now. When we want to hang Saddam Hussein, we want to find these two people that stole the $30,000 from the Catholic Church in Queens. But what about the people that ripped you and I off for $2 billion? Investigators, according to crooksandliars.com, have revealed the Bush administration wasted more than $2 billion of our money allocated for the reconstruction of Katrina. Did that weigh on your mind this holiday, that we have a major American metropolitan area that has been wiped off the map, and nothing has been done about it, little to nothing, except, of course, lucrative contracts, which have made very few people very wealthy. In January, investigators are going to release the first of several audits examining the more than $12 billion in Katrina contracts. Now, this story's already been told. Last August, the House Committee on Government Reform's Minority Office, which would have been the Democrats, released a report titled Waste, Fraud, and Abuse in Hurricane Katrina Contracts. They found that as of June, at the end of June of this year, that $10.6 billion had been awarded to private contractors for Gulf Coast recovery and reconstruction. 30% of those contracts were awarded with full and open competition. 70% of those, no bid, or even worse. This report identifies 19 Katrina contracts collectively worth almost $9 billion that have been plagued by waste, fraud, abuse, mismanagement. In the case of each of these 19 contracts, reports from the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, the Pentagon auditors, agency inspectors general, or other government investigators have linked the contracts to major problems in administration or performance. That's our city. Last month, the federal judge found that the Bush administration unconstitutionally denied the aid of tens of thousands of Gulf Coast residents displaced by Katrina and Rita. FEMA was ordered to resume payments immediately. So we are throwing billions of dollars away. We have literally pissed away $2 billion in no-bid contracts without any oversight and cut off aid to those in need in the Gulf Coast. And yet we are up in arms about $30,000 stolen from a Catholic church in Queens. The Defense Department, according to the Washington Post, in the news dump over the holiday, paid two procurement operations at the Department of Interior to arrange for Pentagon purchases totaling almost $2 billion. And they found that it resulted in excessive fees, tens of millions of dollars in waste. Nothing new. Keep it in perspective with the $30,000 stolen from a Queens Catholic church. The Department of Interior is a government agency that can manage contracts for other agencies in exchange for a fee. And the Defense Department decided to do this in order to do it expediently and protect U.S. government interests. More than half of the contracts examined were awarded without any competition or without checks to determine that the prices were reasonable. 92% of the work reviewed done by the Department of Interior on behalf of our Pentagon was awarded without verifying that the contractor's cost estimates were accurate. 96% of those reviewed were inadequately monitored. Keep that in mind. $1.7 billion in excessive fees going to our bloated Pentagon. In perspective, when you want to... Crime and punishment. $30,000 stolen from a church in Queens is awful. $2 billion frittered away in trying to rebuild a major metropolitan area in the United States that was devastated is unforgivable. Almost another $2 billion frittered away by our Defense Department and who knows how much else from contracts with the Department of Interior. How do you cope with this? And it goes on. You want more? Well, let's pay attention, if we could, since in the spirit of the season... let's look at the continent that our U.S. government cares least about. Of course, I'm talking about Africa, and I'm not sure, and you can certainly speculate as well as I, as to why exactly we don't care about this continent. Maybe it's a lack of resources. Maybe it's an issue of race. I'm not exactly sure. But President Bush's, this another document dump on Christmas Day. He started an ambitious AIDS-fighting program in poor countries, mostly in Africa, and pushed so hard, according to the AP, for fast results that the basic record-keeping and accountability went by the wayside. Investigators found the three-year-old AIDS-fighting program from the White House, the $15 billion program, has overcounted and undercounted thousands of patients. It helped or was unable to verify claims of success by local groups. They can't account for what their $15 billion did, whether or not it even helped in preventing the spread of AIDS or the care of their victims. In Guyana, incorrect numbers made its way into this year's annual report on what the Bush administration is doing with AIDS. I'm guessing they're teaching abstinence only across the continent, and we all know here at home how well that works. Guyana's incorrect numbers in this year's annual report on the Bush AIDS fighting program cited services to 5,200 AIDS orphans. But when auditors actually documented what happened in Guyana, fewer than 300 were actually treated, many of them not even affected by AIDS. Also in Africa, on New Year's Eve, Ethiopia bombed Somalia, escalating a conflict with Islamic fighters and creating a regional war. A regional war that by proxy you and I are responsible for and need to deal with. Ethiopian tanks pushed into territory that had been controlled by Somalia's Islamist forces. Now the Ethiopian military is trained by us, is funded by us. You and I, the taxpayers, in the United States of America. Now, on Christmas Eve, you may not have known this, but we entered into another war in the continent that our government cares least about. And I want to bring it to your attention because it weighs on me. It's what I think about on Christmas Eve and as I look back on 2006. It's what I consider when I think about what we should be doing and could be doing if given the opportunity to lead. Not starting wars, but creating peace. Not teaching abstinence only, but actually treating people with diseases, preventing diseases, and finding solutions instead of creating problems. But hey, what the heck. It's our least cared about continent, the continent of Africa. And coming up next, my Mythbuster, the former mayor here in Madison, Wisconsin, Paul Soglin, joins us to talk about the junk science taking place in the Lost Continent, the real cost of war for the cities across the coast, and the story of saving Air America here in Madison, Wisconsin, where I am this evening. Good evening to you. I am Lee Rayburn, filling in for the incomparable Rachel Maddow on the Rachel Maddow Show. It is 45 minutes after the hour on the Air America Radio Network.
You're listening to the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
I like to play table tennis. I like to shoot dope.
On Air America Radio.
It is nice.
That unfamiliar sound is...
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney,
what drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
at Cache Creek Casino Resort. Win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Next hour, we give the phones over to you and talk about the civil rights movement as we head into 2007 in honor of the passing of the number one soul brother, James Brown. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow on the Rachel Maddow Show at 50 minutes past the hour. Please welcome to the show Paul Soglin, former mayor of Madison from 1973 to 1979, also mayor from 1989 to 1997. In 1979, he became a fellow at the Kennedy School of Government. He was also the mayor during the time when Madison was named the most livable city several times between 96 and 98. He blogs now at waxingamerica.com. It's where I go every day. And welcome to the show, Paul.
Hey, it's good to speak with you again.
Hey, the pleasure's mine, sir, and we've got a lot to go over, but let's start with your recent post at waxingamerica.com. We were talking about our government's least cared about continent, and that is Africa, and a story out of Human Events Now, and Fox News, echoing the story, says that DDT, this is a day of reckoning for DDT foes. I watched An Inconvenient Truth, the Al Gore documentary, over the holidays with my family, and our modern environmental movement kicked off in 1962 with Rachel Carson's Silent Spring, detailing DDT and its effects on our environment and our health. Now they're saying the right wing, the Human Events, are saying that DDT may not be so bad after all. Who is this Human Events, and why are they making this argument?
Well, Human Events, along with Fox News, of course, couldn't leave them out of this, rely on our old buddy Steve Milloy, who's notorious for his attacks on the left and what he calls junk science. And, of course, his number one attack on the left and what he calls junk science is Al Gore. But on his top 10 list this year, he's included the whole environmental movement, going back to Rachel Carson, and the ban on the use of DDT. What he's relying on is the fact that the UN and the World Health Organization, WHO, have indicated that the use of DDT is acceptable in Africa in combating malaria.
However, again, there's an asterisk there that Fox News and Human Events fails to recognize. This isn't massive spraying of DDT, is it?
Lee, you know, you're always catching the asterisk here.
Yes, that's my job.
It's something called, the abbreviation, believe it or not, is IRS, indoor residual spraying. What's been approved, and by the way, it has the support of a number of environmental organizations, including the Sierra Club, what's been approved is the use of DDT for indoor residual spraying, which is very different from the massive agricultural applications that led to the ban of DDT and throughout the world over the last 30, 40 years. It's the application on the walls and roofs of houses and domestic animal shelters, and it's that very limited application on the walls and the roofs. That's all it is. It is not a reversal of scientific findings. It's not an undoing of the studies that have been conducted over the last 20 or 30 years. in regards to some of the adverse effects. And yes, there's still some question just as to how bad DDT is.
However, when you weigh the prevention of malaria in Africa against the effects of indoor residual spraying, limited spraying of DDT, there's no contest. However, nobody's talking about the massive use that Rachel Carson documented in Silent Spring over 40 years ago. That's not what's being talked about here, unless, of course, you're getting your information from Fox News and your junk science from the human events folks.
Exactly.
Oh, to me, do you see this, Paul, as part of the echo chamber misleading America, or is it just poor journalism?
Well, it's a combination of both. I mean, Fox is more or less unprecedented now in terms of representing itself as a legitimate news source. I mean, they really belong the whole continuum that flows through there 24 hours a day. Is more like Rush Limbaugh.
You mean the memos?
It's entertainment, and any resemblance to the truth is coincidental.
I would use the New York Post as another example, but hey, different mediums, but same owner, and same attitude as well, and that is to disregard science altogether for the sake of what the echo chamber wants them to say, which is, oh, we were all wrong about DDT. Oh, and yeah, global warming, that's a joke as well. This is, by the way, Paul, our first global warming Christmas. So a happy holidays to you, sir.
Well, I'm not sure. We'll try and make it happier this coming year.
Yeah, we've got some work cut out for us for 2007. Paul, as mayor of Madison, you brought the city's bond rating up to a AAA status. You were one of the leaders and the financiers to lead the project to construct the State Street Mall. You started the movement for our Monona Terrace Convention Center, which was a project started by Frank Lloyd Wright in the 1930s. And I bring this up because I'm curious to know the real cost of war. As my mythbuster, Paul, at waxingamerica.com, when we look at the cost of war, seldom do we look at the cost on cities and infrastructure and local government spending. What is the real cost of war as you see it from your old position as the mayor of a major city?
Well, and this is not a new issue either, because we saw the same thing in the years of the Vietnam War and in the decade following. But what happens is, as money is consumed, to be burned, and that's what it is. I mean, every time we drop $1 million worth of bombs, we're basically burning $1 million. What happens is it drives up interest rates. And when interest rates rise, the cost of borrowing goes up for everyone. We've seen that in housing, and everybody's been looking at the housing market the last couple of years in regards to the rising interest rates. But it affects every unit of government. It affects our public schools, our cities, our counties, and the state governments, everybody who borrows. Depending upon the individual government, anywhere between perhaps 6 to as much as 15% of its borrowing... of its annual budget is for borrowing. It's what's referred to as debt service.
Paul Soglin is my guest. He blogs online at waxingamerica.com. Former mayor of my city, Madison, Wisconsin. We continue the conversation and the story of people power next, saving Air America, right here in the liberal bastion of Madison, Wisconsin, with the former mayor, Paul Soglin, next here on the Pro Show. He's my Mythbuster, bringing it to you straight. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow on the Rachel Maddow Show, 57 minutes after the hour.
movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
An Iraqi appeals court upholds the execution of the former dictator.
Even Saddam's lawyers admit it's over.
Find yourself at the mall again?
Excellent deal. I mean, great prices. Half off.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammy McCormick. His trial was often disrupted by his outbursts and accusations that the court is being run by Americans.
Down with the invaders. Go to hell, you and the court.
Now the speed with which an Iraqi appeals court upheld Saddam Hussein's verdict and death sentence may raise further questions. There's 3 weeks it took the judges. Michael Scharf is an advisor to the tribunal.
The factual findings are extremely detailed. And so I'm not surprised at all that this was an easy case for the appeals chamber. But again, the speed at which they made their decision raises these kinds of alarm bells about the potential of political interference.
For more on where things go from here, CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston.
Today, Iraq's fledgling democracy guaranteed that a hangman's noose will close tight around Saddam Hussein's neck. For Iraq's prime minister, it's exactly what he wanted when he demanded that the former dictator get everything he deserved for what he did to the Iraqi people during his 24-year regime. In the Iraqi legal process, this is the end of the road. The Iraqi appeals court judge said the execution can be carried out at any point over the next 30 days, and no one can pardon him. He was convicted for his role in the Nujail executions. In 1982, he signed death warrants for 148 Shiites after a failed assassination attempt.
Saddam is also on trial for a crackdown on the Kurds. Now this. Okay, team, let's get started.
Now exiting for Hazelnut Serenity.
Introducing Splenda flavor blends for coffee and hazelnut, French vanilla, and mocha. They add delicious flavor that takes you someplace else.
Ah, a yoga retreat with no pie charts. Assume the lotus position and sip. Breathe in tantalizing hazelnut.
Oh, Margo.
What? Yeah, it's totally zen.
New Splenda flavor blends for coffee. Visit them at hazelnutflavorblends.com. Find them in the coffee aisle.
I've got a cough that won't quit.
That's why Robitussin DM is my Robitussin.
My chest is all congested, so Robitussin chest congestion is my Robitussin.
My cold came with a cough, and my head is stuffed up too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
It was a bloody day in Baghdad. A string of car bombings and other attacks killed both U.S. troops and Iraqi civilians. The December death toll among U.S. forces is 90. In Crawford, Texas, the president will be going over plans for Iraq. Correspondent Mark Noller is traveling with the president.
President Bush meets Thursday at his ranch with members of his National Security Council, including Vice President Cheney and the Secretaries of State and Defense. Among the options known to be under consideration is a plan to increase the number of U.S. forces in Iraq as a way of quelling the surge in sectarian violence. Mr. Bush will unveil the new strategy in a speech next month, though no date has yet been announced.
Democratic Senator Joseph Biden, a candidate for president, is a vocal critic of any increase in troop levels.
The Delaware Democrat flatly says a troop surge won't work.
I want to make it clear I totally oppose the surging of additional
American troops into Baghdad.
In a conference call with reporters in which he confirmed he intends to run for the Democratic nomination for president, Biden said what's needed is a political solution with the help of Iraq's neighbors.
We've already broken Iraq. We're about to break the United States military.
Biden says he plans a series of hearings on Iraq next month when he takes over as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates has reportedly signed orders to send the 82nd Airborne 2nd Brigade to Kuwait soon, which could be part of a short-term surge in troops. The day after Christmas, a day to snap up the bargains. Even the usually not-so-retail-minded stood in line for the deals.
I want to be the first one in here and the first one out of here.
For the more serious shopper, the bargains were worthy of an all-day shopping spree.
The shoes were $59. They were on sale for $29. A $10 gift card from Carson's. Someone gave me a gift card for $15. I paid $6.14 for these $59 shoes.
The 2006 pre-Christmas season falling short of expectations. Many retailers slashed prices even more than they'd planned. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, the Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because it got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me, tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
From our studios in New York City, this is the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
My name is Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow this week, live from Madison, Wisconsin on Air America Radio. My guest is Paul Soglin. He's the former mayor of Madison, Wisconsin. We've been talking about junk science, Fox News, the right-wing echo chamber, and the real cost of war for cities, which Paul would know best. Before the break, I mistakenly alluded to the show as the pro show, which would have been the show that we used to have here on the Madison affiliate for Air America Radio, the Mike 92.1. And we have a great story that you may have seen in the New York Times about our Air America affiliate. And one of the people that worked to keep our Air America affiliate on the air here in Madison was Paul Soglin. You can read him online daily, like I do, at waxingamerica.com. Mistakenly referred to my old show, Paul, because it's like old times. You are our Mythbuster from worldwide to nationwide to right here in our own backyard. And I want to reiterate again what you said before the break. And that was the percent of city budgets going now to pay for increased interest rates as a direct result of our war in Iraq.
All right, let me be clear. If so, we don't have any question of what I was saying. Somewhere around 8 to sometimes as much as 15% of a governmental budget will be used for debt service. When cities, states, and school districts go out into the marketplace to borrow for new schools, to repair the roads, fix the sewers, or whatever, they then have to pay higher interest rates. The cost of that money is going to be with them for the duration of the borrowing. Could be 8 years, could be 10 years, in some cases 20 years. And just like for a homeowner, when interest rates up, move up a quarter of a percent, move up a half a percent, that becomes very significant. And that's what's happening to all of our governments, which means they're either spending more of taxpayers' money on those payments, on those bond payments, that debt service, or in some instances they are forced to defer and put off the public improvements.
So, Paul, that is, in essence, not only are we seeing federal funds dry up that used to go to local resources, but we are also seeing more local resources going towards the interest rates to pay for loans as a result of the war in Iraq. At every angle, it seems like the war on Iraq is incalculable, the cost.
the human suffering in the Middle East, in Iraq, the consequences to us as a nation in terms of the enormous debt that is being consumed, along with the deferral of these important public works projects. And again, I point to the schools, mm-hmm. point to water and sewer systems. All of this is the price. I mean, it may look, as the Bush administration has dealt the cards, that we're able to fight this war with little or no consequence at home, other than the loss of several thousand lives of Americans and hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. But the price is going to be with us, as was the case with Vietnam, for a long, long time.
And for those interested in Paul Soglin's Vietnam-era fight against the war, you can check out the documentary The War at Home. Paul, I also want to talk about a great story of people power that took place in our own backyard here in Madison, Wisconsin, over the last month between the election and our holiday, where it was announced at the end of last week that the Air America affiliate that was going to switch to Fox Sports has now decided that they will stay Air America. And the reason we bring this up is because of the importance to Air America. I am first and foremost a fan, in case you can't tell. I'm a fan of having a place where I can hear what I want to hear and hear the different sides discussed that aren't just Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, which isn't two different sides at all. Air America, it was announced, was going to be pulled off the air in Madison, Wisconsin, just after the election. That was to take place at the beginning of the year. That is not going to happen because of an overwhelming amount of outpouring and support from the local community, local business owners, and local leaders like Paul Soglin. I ask you about the real story, Paul, so let me ask you what the real story is. Some people are saying this was a conspiracy of big media corporations trying to drown out the left. As you look at it and as you worked on it, what's the real story of saving Air America in Madison, Wisconsin?
Well, in effect, Air America and the Mike, as the progressive show was referred to, was really collateral damage in a bigger war among media giants. Now, the fact that it was left-wing talk, that it was progressive talk, and that the revenue dollars were not as great as might have been expected, that made the station vulnerable. But I think that it's oversimplistic. And we're going to face this all over the country in future years. It's oversimplistic to simply say that Clear Channel said, we're going to cut left-wing talk in Madison. There was something bigger going on here. And what was going on was a battle that is looming nationally over sports. That's the bottom line.
So can we call this, instead of the war on Christmas or the war on terrorism, could this be the war on sports?
Well, or it's a war for sports, depending on how you look at it.
We're going to liberate athletes around the country.
But Fox is going after ESPN.
Oh.
And they are trying to find local affiliates and local stations where they can start running Fox Sports up against ESPN, particularly ESPN Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was this was going to be an experiment to test that battle. And since there's only a limited number of stations and licenses available, Clear Channel had to make a decision as to who was expendable. As I said in one of my posts, it was likened to the Spanish Civil War. This was the fascists and the communists testing out their armaments, getting ready for a larger battle as World War II was to unfold. It's not uncommon for companies to do this. National retailers will oftentimes launch a new store as an experiment to test some local marketplace, knowing they're going to lose millions of dollars, but in the whole grand scheme of things, that's expendable as they learn how to compete. Well, as the airwaves, radio and television, obviously, become more competitive for more different outlets, particularly to deal with the variety that's available on cable television, this is going to be occurring. We're going to see stations dropped in one market to perhaps test a Spanish language station and so on.
So, Paul, in essence, what we're looking at is not the end of a battle, but the beginning of a war. A war that would say, on one side, that the owners of our airwaves, the conglomeration of media ownership, can say what they want and do what they want with their airwaves, while the other side says the people, in theory, own the airwaves, and that the will of the people should be adhered to by those that own the antennas and the studios.
And this is the difference between radio, television, and, say, newspapers. Newspapers, the whole system is owned by the people who've got the stock. But in this instance, with radio and television, the airwaves belong to the public. It's a licensing. It is a privilege. And there were two elements that reversed this decision that were so critical. The obvious one, which is the one that's needed from the start, is the efforts that were led by people like Valerie Wallacek and Jane Jensen, you know, some of the sponsors.
We had a
5,500 signatures.
Yep.
On a petition.
And a rally here in town where we overfilled the place and people were actually turned away at the door.
We couldn't have gotten off the ground with it.
Yeah, and you know, I would remind anybody who feels that they are disempowered or don't have the opportunity to change things or feel small in the face of mighty large corporations or big faceless businesses that this is an example of where the people can succeed. Through organization, which was phenomenal, through speaking out, you have the opportunity to have your will heard. And I apply this not just to keeping all perspectives on radio throughout the country, but also to bringing the troops home and ending our incursion into Iraq, making sure the war in Iran never happens, paying attention and caring about our government's least favorite continent, Africa. This all applies, that don't let anybody tell you that you can't change the world. Find a friend who believes as you do and go out there and change it. It's happened here in Madison, Wisconsin. And I want to publicly thank you, Paul Soglin, as you are a part of that and your leadership and organization. Thank you very much, sir, for keeping what I care about on the airwaves here in Madison, Wisconsin. You can check out Paul Soglin's blog every day at waxingamerica.com. Thank you for being my Mythbuster as well, and we will talk to you on air soon, sir.
Take care, Lee.
As Paul said, over 5,500 signatures to save the Air America affiliate here in Madison, Wisconsin. And a rally at a local, one of our local sponsors that overfilled the concert venue where we held it, and people ended up being turned away. And then the inevitable about-face from the people that own the radio station, that this indeed would stay Air America, where after the election, those that own the affiliate here in Madison, Wisconsin, said that they would be switching to Fox Sports. That is what Paul Soglin had discovered, and we will we'll be joined by one of the folks that led the movement and what people can do, not just here in Madison, Wisconsin, but from coast to coast, from Columbus to Boston, and everywhere in between, and all the way out left, how you can change the world. We'll take a look at that next, as well as some news you might lose. Did Bush's drug dealer get a pardon over the holiday? It seemed to have fallen through the cracks. We'll take a look at it. And some breaking news that the governor's from California is out of surgery, and he's A-okay. Anybody else surprised about that? I'll explain. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow on The Rachel Maddow Show. It is 17 minutes past the hour now on Air America Radio.
This is the Rachel Maddow Show.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
On Air America Radio.
It's Enid Live, weekday after.
listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs are being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Day with tonight's AccuTerror forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerror is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks into Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerror radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Jewish people have to start. The
The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
President Bush granted pardons to 16 people. It's not unlike the president to pardon people. Bush has issued 113 pardons already. 3 clemency requests as well. We all remember Ford's pardon of Richard Nixon in 1975. The first Bush's pardoning of 6 people convicted in the Iran-Contra scandal. And of course, President Clinton's pardoning of financier Mark Rich, who was charged with tax evasion. And I can't justify this. By the way, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Green. I'm not a Republican. I think I'm a revolutionary. President Clinton pardoned financier Mark Rich back in 2001, right before he left office. And we found out that Mark Rich's wife, Denise, singer-songwriter, contributed money to the Democratic National Committee, as well as President Clinton's presidential library. Sort of an abuse of power as he left, walked out the front door. Let's not forget, however, that he also forced Mark Rich to pay millions of dollars, as well that Mark Rich's attorney during this time was none other than Scooter Libby. Now the president, George W., has issued 16 new pardons. It may be worth noting that 7 of those 16 pardons have to do with drug or alcohol possession. One bootlegger has been pardoned by our president, but as well, speed freaks, coke dealers, meth heads. Rather interesting, considering the rumors of our president's past. I want to talk about this when we come back. You might not have realized it, and I waited all day for CNN to come.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
This is the Rachel Maddow Show, 34 minutes after the hour. My name is Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow this week, and talking about the quite quiet pardons that the president issued just before the holidays. 7 pardons for drug dealers and a bootlegger that went unnoticed largely in the media. I found this in the Chicago Tribune. In fact, let me go through this here. We know that President Clinton pardoned Mark Rich in 2001, just before he left office, for the money, for the Democratic National Committee contributions, the contributions to the Clinton Presidential Library. You have to ask yourself why the president now, W, has gone ahead and pardoned 6 drug dealers and a bootlegger. One man was arrested in 1992, not due to be released until 2011, for methamphetamine, the scourge right now, the scourge drug that is really annihilating families and communities. It is a terrible drug. So why then is, if Clinton did it for the money, when President Bush pardoned
speed dealers. Why did he do it? You just got to ask yourself. Let's take a call and go to Gene from Sacramento, California. You're on Air America Radio. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening to you. I'm calling with an opinion that I think you're being short-sighted on this in the fact that if you look at what Clinton did, if you go back to what he did for Mark Rich and other people that were involved in his pardons, I think he had a total of like 32, and there was some drug-conscious people that were pardoned. But to get back to what President Bush did, now look, I don't like Bush one way, not even a little bit.
Well, we got something in common.
Not even a little bit. And I was really I was really instrumental in defeating one of his biggest backers in his 11th Assembly District in California, Richard Pombo. And we got a guy, you know, from grassroots. We got him elected. But
great.
When it comes to what he did for people who are trying to better their lives, because you don't know any of these individuals that he pardoned.
No, I do not.
And to throw a blanket over these guys and throw them away as the scourge of life is not right.
I appreciate Wait a minute, Gene. I appreciate the opportunity to clarify. It is not their crimes that I find at fault here. It is the hypocrisy that really drives me crazy. Listen, I'm not for the drug war by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not a warring kind of guy. I'm a peaceful folk. I'm not interested in punishing people with diseases of addiction. And I'm not interested. My point being here is that we have two different standards. One for those that can afford to contribute to the Republican National Committee, or for that matter, in Clinton's case, the Democratic National Committee, and then the rest of us. And I don't appreciate, I don't accept it. I reject hypocrisy on its face, and this is one example of pure hypocrisy. Why don't we deal with everybody who's recovering from drug rehabilitation like that? How many addicts do you think we have in our jails right now?
Oh, I see. I'll bet you it's over 60%. But I think it goes to the issue. What you're saying is, all right, so let's start this this way of life again and make our politicians answerable to the things that they do, because there's been a double standard for well over 30 years, you know, at the political level.
You, Gene, you're recovering alcoholic right now?
Yes, I am.
And you had the opportunity to turn your life around.
Absolutely. I just got appointed to the Planning Commission in the city I live in.
Hey, congratulations to you, man. It's good to have you on our side, as well as working for us as well. And again, I understand what you're saying. I would not demonize anybody who's dealing with addiction, and I don't agree with the drug war one iota, believe me. But at the same time, when the president, who has rumored histories of binging on Colombian marching powder, I'm not going to turn around and say that this isn't a story, when the bottom line is we treat drug addicts and alcohol addicts like criminals, when really we should be treating them as patients.
To a point. I think that's very true. But that also gets to a point in their life when a person doesn't want to change. Then you have to stop dealing with them and say, all right, you know what? You're going to have to do the time. And what this one guy did, I mean, he got caught selling that really ugly drug.
Crystal
meth. I agree with you. But do we know his background and what he's done since he's been in prison to turn his life around?
We know he contributed to the Republican National Committee, and is that all that matters?
From prison he did that?
Somebody in his family did. Here, I got the story from ABC News.
Family. I mean, my God, I have family members that vote Republican too. I still love them.
Duly noted. So you think like CNN that this wasn't a story and I'm blowing it out of proportion?
No, absolutely. I think, in all honesty, I just think it's not an issue that we should be, you know, dealing with. I think there's more important things, like the four Iranians that he caught in Iran, and he's going to try to make that an issue.
Yes, he is, and that would be like trying to make the issue that all homophobic Republicans are actually homosexuals. I appreciate
the
call, Gene, and the opportunity to clarify, and thank you for being on our side, man. One other point about patience that deserves to be mentioned. This out of the governor's office from the great state of California, where Gene just called us, out of Sacramento. This morning, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger underwent surgery to repair his right femur. He fractured it while skiing in Sun Valley. That's what he did over the holidays out in Idaho. The surgery lasted about an hour and a half. During the time, Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante was in charge. The governor has retaken the reins. I do believe we have some audio. I actually have the audio from the Sun Valley Hill in which the governor crashed his skis. There it is.
Your help.
Oh, there he goes.
Ow.
Ooh. Yeah. I don't know why it sounded like he was driving one of his eight Hummers on the slopes of Sun Valley, but for some reason that's what we got. Okay, here's some real audio from you, the California Nurses Association, which you know, I was curious last night as to whether or not Arnold Schwarzenegger would be okay in the hospital today. This is what one California nurse had to say about her governor.
One day, you will be in that bed and realize that because of the number of patients one nurse has to take care of, you may be calling, and there's nobody there.
You see, it was Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he was elected, days after he was elected, that he shot down a law which would have taken effect January 1st, 2005, that would have established a ratio of one nurse to every five patients in the state of California. The abolishment of that law led to the California Nurses Association to point out that this is bad for patients. This is bad for the sick. This is bad for the elderly. This is bad for children. It's bad for California. Nevertheless, the governor went on his way to make sure that that law never became, never made it into the books. And Arnold Schwarzenegger also turned around just this couple months ago, vetoed universal health care. I was wondering last night, and I was wondering if the governor himself was curious as to whether or not the nurses would treat him, and of course they would. But it goes without mentioning that when he needed those nurses, they were there for him. The question should be turned around on the governor at this point, and he should be asked, when the nurses need him, will he be there? And I point this out because he did veto universal health care for the state of California, which would have provided health care. I bring this up because I haven't had a doctor in over 2 years. I don't have any place to go when I get sick. I bring this up because it's not a privilege. It's a right in the wealthiest country on earth. And so when we look at the governor's surgery today, of course, the big news was about his knee or his femur, when the real story should have been the way he treated the health services which he relied on this morning. We're glad he's okay, but more importantly, we hope that he reexamines his perspective on health care in the state of California. I want to wrap up this evening with you and take your calls about James Brown, specifically the death of Soul Brother Number One and where our civil rights are and where the fight for civil rights is in 2007. We'll wrap up the show that way today. Give us a call, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. And we'll also take another call about the fight to keep Air America coast to coast. It is the people's voice. And we will continue the fight for it. And that battle just started right here where I'm broadcasting from this evening, Madison, Wisconsin. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for the incomparable Rachel Maddow on The Rachel Maddow Show. It's 43 minutes after the hour right now on Air America Radio.
This is The Rachel Maddow Show.
You're smart. You've got wonderful bones, great eyes, and you dress really interesting.
On Air America Radio.
That unfamiliar sound is...
Listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow on the Rachel Maddow Show, 48 minutes after the hour. I will return with you tomorrow evening, and we will feature Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, right here from my own backyard in Madison, Wisconsin. Want to wrap up the day talking about the death of the godfather of soul, James Brown, who passed away Christmas Day at the age of 73 in Atlanta, Georgia. And as we look towards 2007, and it's a time of year for introspection and to look ahead, where you see the civil rights fight in 2007, and I think even amongst the left or the progressives or the liberals or the revolutionaries even, there is debate as to where we are in the civil rights fight for 2007. I want to take your calls to wrap up the Rachel Maddow Show this evening at 866-303-2270. Where is the civil rights fight in 2007, the day after the death of Soul Brother Number One? First, let's get to Scott, who's been hanging on the line. Scott from Fall River, Massachusetts, good evening to you, sir.
How you doing?
All right.
I haven't got much of a voice left, but as far as James Brown goes, I could go on forever. I'm a musician.
Well, wait a minute. You're in Boston, Massachusetts, where in 1968 he refused to cancel a concert after Martin Luther King was assassinated. In fact, they televised that concert, giving credit to James Brown, Soul Brother Number One, for keeping the peace in Boston. And his famous quote that evening saying, "Don't just react in a way that's going to destroy your community." A quote I hold true to this day, no matter what I do.
You know, that sounds good, but I wasn't very old in 1968, so I don't really know that history.
Well, it's one of my favorite stories as a civil rights leader.
Okay. You know, thanks. I might look that up now. I'm into that kind of a musicologist kind of thing.
What else is there? Well, it's time to, you know, I'm going to pull out my old album, The Payback, this evening and kick back with the lights down low and listen to the hardest working man in show business. What else is going on in the Boston area?
What happened to Air America? I went to turn it on one day, and I've got a Spanish language channel on there. I come home, I put it on the website to see what's going on, and there, you know, they've got this, you know, we're waiting on our new website. It's no more Air America in Boston, Massachusetts, land of Kerry Kennedy and Bonnie Frank.
You know what? I don't know what's happening in your backyard, but something similar almost happened in my backyard, Scott, and I want to say that it is up to you. That unlike, and Paul Sogman talked about this earlier in the hour, unlike the newspaper, those airwaves are ours, yours and mine. And if you want them, you got to go take them back. There was an organized effort here in Madison that was led just by the listeners and then by the advertisers who took it to management. And I don't know who owns your Air America affiliate there, but it is our voice, and you deserve it back. I would recommend that you organize the advertisers you heard on that station, advertisers that you know would be supportive, as well as every listener that you know ever heard Air America Radio in the Boston area. Get them together and fight for what's yours. Take it back.
Okay, then.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brian in Everett, Washington. Oh, Brian, you are more famous than me, my man. Good evening to you, and welcome to the show.
Hey, I enjoy James Brown's music, and I believe what you're talking about his work for civil rights. However, maybe his relations to women might not have been the best example.
I did not. I think
that may be something you might want to say. Also, I mean, not every hero doesn't have his flaws, you know.
Well, certainly.
I think he might have treated a woman maybe in a negative way at one time.
Well, and there's another man, as we talked about earlier, who had to struggle with addiction and the disease of addiction.
Well, not only that, but I mean, you know, to be violent towards a woman there's complicated compounded issues there involved.
Absolutely, but
you know,
the song Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud resonates with me
because you're black.
No, because I say it softly, I'm white, and sometimes I'm ashamed.
Well, yeah, I'm actually a little bit pink, and sometimes I have little spots, and I actually kind of lay around the house and don't do much of anything but call talk radio all day, and I'm like an armchair quarterback in politics, I really have no moral authority to speak on anything, but I really enjoy this station, and I hope it keeps going loud and proud.
Hey, thank you, Brian. And
all right.
It is an honor to talk to you all the way from Everett, Washington. We go now to Doug in Augusta, Georgia. Doug, when we look at civil rights and on the eve of 2007, where are we?
Well, I mean, I think that what we saw with Katrina is an example of while black people can vote and people of color can vote in this country, there's nobody really addressing their needs, their issues. And I just wanted to point out that as great as James Brown's music was, people overlooked the other side of James Brown, which was his interest in helping those people. He every year here in Augusta, I'm up here visiting my parents for Christmas. I'm down in Orlando where we need to get an Air America affiliate.
We need to get one everywhere.
and I listen to you on XM. Every year in Augusta, he would give toys away to children and give turkeys away to families that couldn't afford it. And that, you know, I that's what's missing in our country, a concern for the people who can't get there by themselves and need some help. And I just wanted to say how much I admire James Brown for that.
And, you know, we've talked about that from the governor's surgery and the need for health care for all as a right as opposed to a privilege. We've talked about that today just in saving Air America in some communities and getting it on in communities like Orlando, Florida. We've addressed that on all these different levels, and at the core of it is actually going out and doing the work to get it done. And you mentioned James Brown's work in Augusta. He lived right across the Savannah River there, I believe, in Beach Island, South Carolina. And for me, it is certainly the music and the soul, and we lose a little bit of our soul, and that is unfortunate. But we also need to use that. I don't want to memorialize him because, yeah, he had his shortcomings, and we all do. But he stood for a civil rights movement that I'm not sure we even know where it stands today. Let me see. Well, we got Bob in Madison, Wisconsin, where I'm broadcasting this evening. Bob, you're on Air America Radio. Good evening to you.
Oh, well, good. Glad to hear you again, Lee. We missed you when you went off the air shortly after the election. That was outrageous what went on there in Madison.
Well, what was even better, though, was what came to pass out of that, and that was a movement that can be used in every community that wants to get Air America or wants to keep Air America, and that should be used, and that is a movement that is started by the people, perpetuated by the people, and maintained by the people.
Well, and it shows the strong commitment of the advertisers and stuff. I mean, there was organizing in the Dardanelles on Monroe Street, and there was Lee Brown of the United Nations Association, the current president, was ahead of me, and I was about 100 on the sign-up list, you know, that very first morning when the petition came out. So, and she was like 77th or something, you know, like in the first hour, hour and a half or something. I mean, she's, so, I mean, there are people across the community that really needed this programming.
And Bob, to use this programming with a few minutes that we have to look, I know you're an economist here in Madison. Is there a relationship between socioeconomic status and race in America today?
Well, there certainly is. The thing is, you know, one of the things I discovered, you know, when I discovered that military spending is exactly proportional to murder rates across the country, and then you look at the non-white population by states, and you get almost the same thing, and you realize that what's going on here is the military is starving the whole system, and then we turn our wrath because we're not moving forward like we were in the Yankee Ingenuity days before World War II, that we've gone sideways as an empire since World War II. We turn our wrath on the minorities, on the blacks and the Chicanos and so forth. We put them in tight packages that they explode out of because you treat anybody like an animal and what's going to happen. So
I don't know that I'd agree with all that, Bob, but I appreciate the phone call, and I know you know economics, so, but I'd like to point this out, that civil rights is about all of us, and it is about all of our rights. And civil rights also includes, it includes all of us. It's not just about color of skin. It is about what you are born with and whether or not that will be accepted as a society. In this country, above all other countries on earth, it should be. So whether your civil rights are race rights or human sexuality rights, they are yours, and they should be given ultimate importance. And I think that was the lesson of James Brown and the civil rights movement, and it continues today, that fight. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow. We'll do so again tomorrow. Thank you for having me on the Rachel Maddow Show. It is 57 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the one, the only.
To AM 1320 KCTC,
Sacramento.
Sacramento's left channel, because you deserve the truth.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick.
The only other one we can appeal to is God.
A lawyer for Saddam Hussein after an Iraqi appeals court today upheld the former dictator's conviction and death sentence. Here's CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston.
The decision now goes to Iraqi President Jalal Talabani, who must sign it, along with the nation's two vice presidents. Once the appeals court order is ratified, Saddam and his co-defendants would be hanged in 30 days. Saddam was convicted of the 1982 murders of 148 residents of a Shiite town.
There were several car bombings and other attacks in and around Baghdad today. 90 U.S. troops have been killed this month. More than 50 Iraqis died just today. President Bush is working on his plan for Iraq, but as CBS News correspondent Thalia Assuris reports, there's one very vocal critic of any increase in U.S. troop strength, Senator Joseph Biden.
During a conference call, Senator Biden told us in very forceful terms that sending more troops to Iraq would be the absolute wrong strategy, expanding actually on comments he made earlier on CBS.
We should be drawing down troops, putting pressure on the Iraqi government to settle their sectarian differences rather than putting more troops in and acting as apartheid cops.
President Bush seems to be leaning instead toward a so-called surge of perhaps 30,000 more troops. Biden opposes that, demanding that Iraqis come up with their own political solution.
Bargains galore at the nation's stores and malls. That's because pre-Christmas sales didn't live up to hopes. So correspondent Bill Whitaker says retailers are hoping when you come in with those gift cards, you buy a little more than you plan.
The line to see Santa before Christmas has disappeared, replaced by the line to return gifts this day after. Retailers say 37% of holiday shoppers will return at least one item, and believe it or not, they say that's a good thing.
We really anticipate that more people will exchange something, use their gift card, and upgrade to probably a better item that they really wanted and didn't get for Christmas.
If you get a $50 gift card, you'll spend $150. Never fails.
Many happy returns or not, stores need more than returnees to turn this so-so Christmas shopping season into one to celebrate.
Some online merchants say they had a record holiday, Amazon.com for one, which had 4 million orders. Don't reach for that heartburn medicine if you don't really need it. The advice of British researchers who say some of those widely used prescription medications, if taken for more than a year, can increase your risk of a broken hip, possibly by making it harder for your body to absorb calcium. A British Airways plane reportedly carrying British Prime Minister Tony Blair overshot a runway in Miami today. There were no injuries. The flight was arriving from London. Civil rights groups are suing over a new Texas law that would ban renting apartments to illegal immigrants, insisting it would force landlords to act as immigration officers. On Wall Street today, the trading resumed. The Dow finished up 64 points. This is CBS News.
If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, we aren't the place. But if you want someone to tell it like it is, come to Match.com.
You need to start making some different decisions and embracing some different strategies to get what you want.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months, or we'll give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love. Visit Match.com for details.
Need Cheerios and Listerine, Huggies, Pepsi, and Pantene, GE Lights and 409. If I spill, it's bounty time. Dollar General, that's the spot. Look at everything I got.
It's clearance days at Dollar General. Get 50% off already everyday low prices on all Christmas merchandise through January 15th. And 25% off all fall and winter clothing through January 22nd. See your circular for details. Save time, save money, every day.
Dollar General.
A new study claims losing some pounds could also reduce your risk of an aggressive form of prostate cancer. Your CBS News correspondent, Barry Bagnato.
Prostate cancer is the second deadliest type of cancer among American men. So how can you help yourself avoid it? In a study in the journal Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers and Prevention, researchers found men could reduce their risk of developing an aggressive form of the disease by losing at least 11 pounds over a 10-year period. Keeping your weight the same doesn't appear to have the same effect.
Previous studies have indicated that men who are obese have a higher risk of that aggressive prostate cancer. There will be a public funeral service for legendary R&B singer James Brown, who died yesterday of heart failure. His agent says it will take place in an arena in Augusta, Georgia that bears his name. Fans have been paying tribute by leaving flowers and other items at a statue of Brown there. The public service will be held on Saturday. There will also be a private service for family and friends the day before. Brown was 73. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Still one or two.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead.
See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
You're listening to the best of Politically Direct on Air America Radio.
Politically Direct with David Bender. David's guest tonight, Robert Kennedy advisor Paul Schrade, United Farm Workers founder Dolores Huerta, and actor Christian Slater.
I would live like a free man, shake the chains from my soul, change my direction to heal my reflection, stepping out into the gold.
Welcome to the program. We're continuing our discussion all this week on the life and legacy of Senator Robert F. Kennedy. Last night we spoke with his son, Max Kennedy, and we began a conversation with Paul Schrade, the former Western Regional Director of the United Auto Workers, and a longtime friend and ally of Robert Kennedy's. He'll be joining us again in just a moment. Also on the program tonight is Dolores Huerta, who with Cesar Chavez co-founded the United Farm Workers Union and was also very close to Robert Kennedy. And in the second half of the show, actor Christian Slater will be here to talk about his role in the new film Bobby, which opens on Thanksgiving Day. But first, let me welcome back my friend Paul Schrade, who was with us yesterday. Paul, thanks for coming back. There's so much more to talk about. Yesterday, we discussed how you met Bob Kennedy and about the 1968 campaign. You were also present that night in the Ambassador Hotel, as we both were, and you were wounded in the shooting that killed Robert Kennedy. Let's talk about that night. You and I met through a wonderful man named Allard Lowenstein, a former member of Congress who'd come to California in 1974 to investigate the circumstances 6 years later of the death of Robert Kennedy. I was an 18-year-old freshman at UCLA, and I met you when you and Al Lowenstein held a press conference at the LA Press Club to talk about the circumstances of that night. It's 32 years ago. What do we now know? You were yourself wounded that night. It was very personal, as well as obviously something that affected the entire country. What do we now know about what happened that night?
Well, there's a couple of studies that people ought to read. One is a book by Dr. Philip Melanson called Shadow Play, which raises certain questions that we were raising about the number of bullets that could have been fired in there that night, which seemed to be more than Sirhan could have fired, Sirhan being the assassin. There was a question of whether the gun was ever that close to Robert Kennedy's head, and nobody ever put it there. So there's all these questions that came up, and the Melanson book gets into all those kind of questions, and we were fearful that the real story would never be told. And so we continued to investigate. We had opposition from the media. We had opposition from the police department and the DAs. But we plugged away and were able to put together a fairly decent case that went to the grand jury. The grand jury didn't give us a new trial, didn't give us a new investigation. But it's a long time ago.
Much of the evidence was also destroyed.
Yeah, the key evidence was destroyed. Like, for instance, the door jam where an FBI agent
was photographed pointing to a bullet hole.
Bullet holes. Two bullet holes. And he said there were bullets in those holes. And that was more than Sirhan could have fired.
Paul, what do you believe happened that night?
Well, I know Sirhan was in there firing. I know I got wounded seriously with a head wound, and that four other people got wounded. And we lost Robert Kennedy, which was the most tragic event ever in my life. We lost somebody that was going to be so good for this country that I still don't get over that, because we've never recovered from that period. I don't know what would have happened if he'd lived, and I don't play that what-if game, but I do know that serious investigation has never been done. There's new information coming out soon. In fact, BBC is running a document showing suspicious people in the
embassy. People who work for the CIA, is that
work
right?
For the CIA. Three men who work for the CIA that have been identified. They were supposed to have been hitmen on Castro, and probably angry with Robert Kennedy for giving up on the assassination of Castro.
A lot of people, Paul, and when I worked on this with you and Al Lowenstein, a lot of people, including members of Senator Kennedy's family, have said, you know, this is just, nothing will be accomplished, we can't bring him back. Why do you think it's important? You spent much of the last 30 years trying to find out the truth of what happened there. Why do you think it's important for the country to know what happened that night?
Well, we have to know if there's anything beyond a single member of the community gunning for a person like Jack Kennedy or Robert Kennedy.
Or Martin Luther King.
Or Martin Luther King. So it's important that we know this. When Robert Kennedy was campaigning here in California in March of 68, he was being challenged out at one of the universities. But people were saying, what about the Warren Commission report? What about the Warren Commission report? And Robert Kennedy said, I'm accurately quoting him from the L.A. Times. He said, nobody is more interested in who killed my brother than I am. So if he had become president, I think he would have worked hard to investigate the assassination.
Which begs the obvious question, were the people who were involved in Dallas, involved in Los Angeles? And I, from what I know of this, and I spent a lot of my time, obviously, in those 30 years reading and studying this as well, there's still no way of knowing. Is the trail cold? I mean, is it impossible ever to find out what happened?
No, it's not impossible. Somebody might come forward and do deathbed confessions. Or now this investigator from London who has been able to identify pictures of CIA agents present in the Ambassador Hotel during the period that Robert Kennedy was there and there for his victory speech. Why they were there is a big enough question for us to find out the answer. They could have been innocent bystanders or what? But I think that it's important to get to the bottom of why they were there. What were they doing there?
Paul, on the legacy of Robert Kennedy, one of the things, and again, talking about the circumstances of his death and revisiting the Ambassador Hotel, it's always been difficult for me even to pass the Ambassador Hotel when I've been driving on Wilshire Boulevard. I imagine it was true for you and for so many people who were there that night. And this film is now bringing that night to life for so many people, many of whom weren't born in 1968 and are seeing it. But you've done something remarkable. You and members of the L.A. School Board and the community here in Los Angeles have worked to turn that, what was the site of the old Ambassador Hotel, now razed, into a real legacy for Robert Kennedy. Not a tragic one, but an incredibly positive one. We talked about that a bit with Max Kennedy. Tell us about it.
Well, the Ambassador Hotel was a horrible place because of what happened there. But it was also not being cared for, so it was crumbling, and the walls were crumbling, roofs were leaking, and it was closed down in 1989. It was full of rats, 50 feral cats just in the Coconut Grove, keeping down the rat population. People came out of the Coconut Grove with flea bites all over their legs.
And people should know that the Coconut Grove had been one of the hot spots in Los Angeles,
yeah,
in the 30s,
yeah,
and 40s, where stars went to be discovered.
Yeah.
And now feral cats went to be discovered.
They were keeping down the rat insurgency. So the hotel was a wreck. The L.A. Conservancy was a wonderful organization. Monica and I are members.
Your wife, Monica Weil.
Monica Weil. And we believe that good old buildings that have architectural integrity and history should be saved. The problem with this hotel, it had no architectural integrity. It never appeared in any landmark book that I've been able to find. In fact, the Conservancy, which is running this program of preservation, their three books that they have on their website, none of them mention the ambassador.
So they were preserving it more for what happened there in terms of its notoriety than they were for its architectural significance.
Yeah, but their first attempt was to get a hotel chain to come in and convert it to a hotel, back to a hotel, which is actually true to the preservation principle. You do minimal change and return it to its original condition. They couldn't get any hotel chain to do that. Everyone passed on it, said, we're going to have to demolish it. And so the demolishing question then was on the backs of the school board, the taxpayers, and the students. And so we fought with the school board, finally got 4 votes out of the 7.
It was a 20-year fight, wasn't it? You really have been involved in this for a very long time, to get the school board to beat the Conservancy. And so what is going to be created there? Tell people what it is.
Well, we beat the Conservancy before the school board, and we beat the Conservancy in court. They took us through a long court procedure. And the courts decided, yes, it should be demolished. So the ambassador is gone, and there's going to be new schools there. K through 12, kindergarten, middle, elementary, all the way up to high school.
And as Max said, that's totally consistent with everything that Robert Kennedy believed.
Robert Kennedy believed that poor kids ought to have education like his kids got, and ought to get good jobs to break the cycle of poverty. Otherwise, we wind up with gangs. We wind up with people underemployed, working on terrible jobs, or in jail. 80% of the prisoners now in our prisons in California are dropouts from high school. And so we felt that a really good world-class school ought to be developed on that site, and we're on our way to do that. We have a representative on the school board, Monica Garcia, Richard Alonso, the director, who really believes in this, and we have a construction crew that's in charge there now. We're working with them day by day to get the right kind of curriculum, a social justice curriculum in that school, to make the school a community center, which we worked with.
There'll
Robert
be a park,
Kennedy,
too, right?
And a park, yeah.
All named for Robert Kennedy?
All for Robert Kennedy. That hasn't been decided yet, but that we still got to go through the bureaucracy.
Well, we're going to decide it right here on Politically Direct.
Okay.
Paul Schrade, congratulations on that, on taking what had been a very painful place for all of us and turning it into something that, frankly, I can't wait to see now. Thank you for joining us on Politically Direct, and it is, as always, just a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, David. Good to see you again.
You're listening to the best of Politically Direct on Air America Radio.
It's the Randy Rhoads Show.
Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
In movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Best of Politically Direct on Air America Radio.
Back. Joining me now is Dolores Huerta. It's a pleasure to have her on the program. Dolores and I met many years ago in California politics. Dolores was one of the founders of the United Farm Workers Union. She is now the president of the Dolores Huerta Foundation for Community Organizing. Thanks so much for joining us on Politically Direct.
No, it's a pleasure to be here.
Dolores, we are talking this week about the life and legacy of Robert Kennedy. You knew Bob Kennedy going back to 1960. Tell me your first recollection of meeting him.
Well, we had done this major voter registration drive in California with a community service organization. This is the group that Cesar and I both came out of. And someone else had taken credit for our voter registration drive, and they had Bobby Kennedy had written a letter to Time magazine thanking this other organization. And so, of course, we were all very upset about that, and I was working in San Diego at the time, and the senator was, well, Bobby was going to be at the Hotel Coronado in San Diego. And so, you know, I went to see him there, and I had the magazine in hand, and I'm walking up to him, and he says, oh, right away he put his hands up, he says, oh, no, he says, I know, it was a community service organization, and he says, we're going to, you know, give you credit for the work that you did. And sure enough, in the next issue of Time magazine, he wrote this letter saying that it had been an erroneous recognition of the other group.
A politician who was as good as his word?
Absolutely, yes. And so I had been doing that voter registration drive. That was the year that the JFK was running, and that's when I got to meet Robert Kennedy. And then, of course, later on,
John Kennedy?
I really don't know. I'm not sure.
Curious about that. It never come up in my reading at all. Cesar Chavez had ever met President Kennedy.
Well, it was interesting because we were in the community service organization. It was a nonprofit and it was a nonpartisan organization. And in fact, I even then was invited to have lunch with John Kennedy and Robert. And because I felt that I couldn't be there because we were a nonpartisan organization. I was, of course, very young and naive, right? So I didn't go to the luncheon. Can you imagine that? I mean, it was just, I did see the president when he came to San Diego, I mean, you know, the candidate for the presidency then, but I didn't sit down with him. And I don't think Cesar ever met him either. Cesar never mentioned that.
So moving forward in time, the campaign for the presidency in 1968 for Robert Kennedy, Paul Schrade's talked about this, that Robert Kennedy's visit to Delano during Cesar's fast was a critical moment. It had a huge impact on his thinking. You were there. Can you describe what that was like?
Well, what happened after he spoke and when he was getting ready to leave, of course...
How long had Cesar been fasting for at this point?
25 days.
25 days.
And when he ended... I was, by the way, in New York at the time. I was in charge of the boycott. And everybody kept calling, we've got to get the senator to come out here. And so I went to see Senator Kennedy there in New York and asked him if he would come out when Caesar, ended the fast. And, of course, he said that he would. And he had done some other events for us before that time. He had did one of our first fundraisers. You know, there was no 24-hour medical facility in Delano, California. And so we wanted to put together a clinic. And Gavin Newsom's father, you know, the nominee of San Francisco.
The current mayor of San Francisco.
Yeah, his father did a fundraiser over there in Marin County with Robert Kennedy to raise money for our clinic. Then before that, and this is a really remarkable moment, Senator Kennedy came with a delegation from the Senate to Delano. And the whole reason was because they were arresting the farm workers. You know, we would go out there to picket and they would put everybody in jail. And they had a hearing. And during this wonderful, famous encounter that he has with the sheriff of Kern County, he admonishes the sheriff, and he tells him that he should, during the lunch break of this hearing, go read the Constitution of the United States.
Well, that scene is in the film Bobby.
It is, huh?
It is in the movie Bobby.
Wonderful.
And actually that footage. And there's a remarkable moment in the film in which, again, you've just described it, but it's basically, what have these people done? Well, they may violate the law.
Right.
And you can't arrest people if they're thinking about violating the law, and that's when Robert Kennedy encouraged them to read the Constitution. Dolores, I'm sorry. If you can stay with us, we need to take a quick break. This is Politically Direct on Air America Radio. We're talking with United Farm Workers co-founder Dolores Huerta about the life and legacy of Robert F. Kennedy. Join us on our blog at politicallydirectradio.com. I'm David Bender. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the best of Politically Direct on AM 1320.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag.
Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks into Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
My guest is Dolores Huerta, who, along with Cesar Chavez, was the co-founder of the United Farm Workers Union and was a longtime friend and ally of Senator Robert F. Kennedy. Dolores, this is an amazing time where a lot of people who did not know Robert Kennedy, too young to remember him, are learning about him now. It must be incredible for you, who knew him well, to see that resurgence of interest in his life.
Yes, it speaks to so much. And then, of course, when he was there that day, when Caesar ended the fast, and we had this giant mass with these thousands of farm workers, and as he started to leave to go back to his car, all of the workers started shouting, "Kennedy for president! Kennedy for president!" And then he got up and he spoke to the people there, you know, kind of an ad hoc sort of a little speaking to them when they were asking him to run for president. But it was just a very spontaneous and just.
Well, he was clearly very moved by the experience, mm-hmm. and you know, for those of us who watched, and I went to Delano for another Breaking the Fast many years later. Mm-hmm. I remember you there, and many members of Senator Kennedy's family went. Kerry Kennedy, Max Kennedy, other people who went and were a part of that. There was a real connection between the farm workers' struggle and what Robert Kennedy believed our politics were about.
And somehow he personified that for a lot of people.
That's true. And not only with the farm workers, but, you know, he did the same thing in New York with in Bedford-Stuyvesant. You know, right. Going into New York to set up these development programs there is, you know, also as he did in down here in South Central with the Watts Community Action Programs and with Teleco in East Los Angeles. And, of course, in also helping the farm workers get started. Our whole National Farm Workers Service Center, which today is run by Paul Chavez, he's his son, and which is responsible for building tens of thousands of low-income homes, is an outcome of that which Robert Kennedy started. And, of course, Radio Campesina, which is also now has like 8 radio stations, one in Washington State and 2 in Arizona and, of course, many in California, come out of that whole concept that Bobby Kennedy had, is that you needed to help people develop in their own communities, you know, and that legacy is still alive.
You were, like I was, like Paul Schrade, others who were on this program and will be on this week, present that night in 1968. Again, in the film, there is footage, and I know it's difficult to look at. It was difficult for me to look at. What do you think of when you look back on that night, Dolores? We've talked about it with Paul Schrade. That night was a night of both triumph and incredible tragedy. When you look back on it now, how does it...
Well, I have gone over that night so many times in my mind, and, you know, Caesar had a lot of death threats on his life. So we were always so conscious of making sure that Caesar had security. And when I was asked I was taken up to where the senator was at, and he was going to be walking down to make his speech. And then I saw that he only had one security person with him. And right away I thought to myself, wait a minute, why does he only have one security person with him? But it was such a joyous, joyous event. And then we went down, we were going to the kitchen. I was walking with the senator and with Ethel. And then the workers started, you know, waving and shouting at him. And I said, Senator, the workers are saying hello to you. Then he walks out and he starts shaking hands right. With the workers. And then, I thought to myself, I'm thinking security, right? He shouldn't be doing that. But then again, you don't want to spoil, you know, that moment, that evening. And then when we got up to the podium and he made his talk, and then I remember one of the reporters pulled out a mic that was in the podium itself. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that could have been a bomb, you know? And I had these thoughts going through my head. But again,
you weren't the only one.
But I didn't say anything, and I have all this guilt around me because I didn't say anything, you know, that evening. And then, of course, when we walked down from the podium, and we actually had a room full of farm workers, the people that had been out there walking the precincts. You know, we'd been going door to door in East Los Angeles and in South Central. All of the strikers from the strike were in L.A., you know, sleeping on the church floors and doing all this work to tell people to vote for the senator. And so we had the mariachis waiting for the senator. But then as we started to go over to the ballroom, then they came and they took him to the kitchen.
Well, there was another room. Now, I was standing off to the side of the stage, and I was a little kid that night. And I was standing in what had been the roped-off VIP area. And I remember this so well because they had rolled a red carpet off. Mm-hmm. So if you exited stage right, that was to take Senator Kennedy down to this overflow room. The embassy room was so packed, so many people in it. There was a room where I think a lot of the people who couldn't get in, the people you're talking about, were downstairs waiting for him to come and talk. And at some point, the plan had been that he was going to go that way immediately. Uh-huh. And then someone directed him.
Yeah, they came and they took him back to the kitchen. And that was not the plan. And then Jim Drake, who worked with the farm workers, grabbed me and he said, wait a minute, you're supposed to be bringing the senator over here. I said, let me catch up to him. So I am then trying to catch up to the senator because I had been walking side by side with him. But then you had all these tall people in front of me like Paul and, you know, Rosie Greer and all these great giants. And so I'm trying to get up to the front again.
I will tell people here on radio that you are not 6 feet tall.
No, I'm 5'2" and 3/4 or something. And so when I'm trying to get up there to the front where the senator's at, then, of course, right at the doorway is when the shots rang. Now, I know that there were a number of shots. I thought they were firecrackers.
Sure.
I thought this celebration.
That had just happened in San Francisco a day or so earlier. Firecrackers had gone off, and
right.
They thought they were gunshots.
Yeah.
People had been spooked already.
So, I thought, oh, these are firecrackers that are going off. And then one of the gentlemen, it was with me, who had also worked with the auto workers, Henry Santisteban, who was walking next to me, he just grabbed me, threw me up against the wall. I was kicking him and beating him and hitting him. I've got to get over there with the senator. Mm. He said, no, he said, those are shots. You could hear people screaming and... You know, it kept everything kind of went berserk. People started throwing furniture, and it just went crazy, as you will remember. I mean, the thing is that it was not only all of us farm workers, poor people that were robbed of our future. It was the whole kind of the whole world. And the dedication of the school, one of the women who had filed a lawsuit to make sure that we could get this school, the Ambassador Hotel, torn down and the school built, she said in her speech that she made in Spanish, she said, and it echoed my sentiments completely, it was not just we, the Latinos, the African-Americans, the poor people, you know, but it was also the whole country and the world that was deprived of Robert Kennedy's leadership, because we know the people in Latin America loved him. You know, people looked up to him. They had that respect, you know, for people's cultures, for other people, other countries, whatever their politics were. It wasn't all about, you know, us taking control of those countries, of taking control of their economies. He had that amount of respect from people. So it was not only us that were deprived. It was the whole world that was deprived of his leadership.
But Dolores, we have your leadership, and I have to tell you, it's been just a pleasure knowing you these years and seeing, again, the work you have done, the work you did with Caesar, the work you continue to do now with your foundation, that is part of what Robert Kennedy's life was about. And I guess it's been said, and it's hard to say when you're thinking about what could have been, but what doesn't kill you does make you stronger. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, I think of the Hemingway line, which is that life breaks all of us, but some are stronger at the broken places.
And I was thinking today that we were on the spot, you know, and I hadn't been back to the Ambassador, by the way, since that day. And here we were on the spot where the senator was taken away from us. And I was thinking of St. Francis, you know, the St. Francis prayer, but it dying, there is life. And I was just thinking of, when you think of all of the places that the senator was at, why here? Why here in California? Why here at this spot? And today, when they're talking about building this incredible school where you're going to have the kindergarten, the middle school, and the high school all on one spot, and then you think, well, this is why. This is why, because life and love triumph over death and greed. And I think that the triumph, we live that in this dedication of the breaking of the ground. We haven't dedicated the school yet, but in breaking of that ground, we can see that the senator's legacy is just going to be fulfilled and live on. I know his family has done so much. And I want to say this about the Kennedys, because it's, you know, not only Robert, but Ted and Joseph and Robert Jr. and the girls, Kathleen, Rory,
Max,
all of them, they have just continued to give so much of themselves to society and for social justice. And I always like to say that with the Kennedy family, you always come into the front door. You never have to go around the back door. You know, this is the kind of class that they have.
Dolores Huerta, thank you so much for joining us on Politically Direct. Come back soon.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
You are listening to the best of Politically Direct on Air America Radio.
Stop Mad Cowboy.
Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Welcome back. Again, all this week, we're continuing our discussion of the life and legacy of Robert F. Kennedy and concurrent with the release of the film Bobby. Joining me now by telephone is one of the actors in that film, Christian Slater. Welcome to Politically Direct.
Thank you very much. An honor to be here.
Well, again, I have seen this film. I've been talking about it on the air. For me, it's a very personal experience, and I've been reading some of your comments about the making of the movie.
Sure.
I was at the Ambassador Hotel that night.
Oh, my.
I was a 12-year-old volunteer for Robert Kennedy, and in watching this film, which is in some places extremely difficult for me to watch, just personally.
Sure.
But it is also a mesmerizing film, and it interweaves so many human stories. One of the things I've read about in your previous comments is that many of the people who filmed the scenes of the celebration that night were also people who had been there that night. Is that right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, aside from all the phenomenal, wonderful actors that were, you know, involved in the movie, I mean, the people that were in the background had actually been there on the day, so that added to the intensity of filming the moment. I mean, it just, you could see the feelings of loss, and it just made it very, very painful to do.
You were approached, you knew Emilio Estevez some years ago, you'd done Young Guns 2 together. He called you, you were in London doing a play, is that right, when he called you for this?
Yeah. I'd gone out to London to sort of hook up with the cast of people that I did fall in love with when I was doing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And yeah, so it was like 1:30 in the morning, we were all hanging out, having a good time, and I got this call from Emilio. He told me what the movie was about, what the subject matter was, and some of the people that were involved. And I just said to him, you know, where do I show up? You know, I was quite thrilled and very, very excited.
You were born a year after
a little more than a year after Robert Kennedy died. So your your recollections are really from film, from your family. And so it wasn't in the sense, even Emilio is a little bit older than you, who actually, I gather, met Robert Kennedy as a young child. His dad worked for him.
Well, he woke his dad up, I think, the night that Bobby was killed. And, you know, he was like 6 years old, I think.
Yeah. But for you, it was more just becoming familiar. Did you do any kind of research? Did you read about that period at all in preparing for this part?
Well, I mean, I was playing the food and beverage manager of the Ambassador Hotel. So, of course, as far as being an actor and doing research, as far as getting the physicality of what a person like that might do behind the scenes, I went to some hotels and talked to people that actually work and got a sense of what happens in that kind of world. But we showed up on the set, and we were given a lot of material about the time period and certainly about the Ambassador Hotel. I mean, the history of that place was pretty phenomenal. The people that came in and out of those doors were extraordinary.
Well, that was, you know, for people in film, that was the place in the 30s and 40s. There's so much history there.
Yeah.
It must have been a remarkable thing because, I mean, people, actually young actors, went there to be discovered in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing place, and you could just... Pulling up, it was really surreal and bizarre to pull up this set that was basically now a construction site. I mean, the hotel was pretty much of a shell, you know, and you'd see the bulldozers pushing things out the windows and the dirt piles and the garbage trucks, and you come around the corner, and we'd recreated 1968, you know, and that particular day. And the wardrobe, Julie Weiss's wardrobe work was phenomenal and astonishing, and you were completely transported in that small, tiny space that we had to work in back to 1968. You felt it. It was about as authentic as it could possibly be.
Christian, I want to ask you about the part you play, Timmons,
yeah.
This food and beverage guy. He is not a sympathetic character. You're playing a guy who is really not a Robert Kennedy supporter, at least it's certainly
sure.
implied. Yet there's, and one of the amazing things about what Emilio's done with this film is he's taken these characters and shown growth, even though there's so many of you, there you have an arc of growth even during the course of this movie. That must have meant a lot to you in reading the script.
That was thrilling. I mean, like I said, when Emilio called me, I just basically said, then where do I show up prior to even reading the script? So then I came back to Los Angeles, took a look at the character, and, you know, it was a little scary. I was like, oh, dear, you know, this is a, oh, dear.
oh, dear is fine, and you can say it on the radio.
I probably didn't say, oh, dear. But, you know, it was a little scary and a little intimidating, but what I did see was that, you know, every character was very full and very rich, and the fact that there was an arc there, and that Bobby Kennedy was such a powerful man and such a powerful speaker, even a character like mine, the armor that I wear is able to be pierced, and the walls of racism that I have up are able to come down.
You know, there's talk about the verisimilitude, and I'm going to be talking to Emilio about this, but, you know, I remember, again, as a kid, that there's one, and I'm not giving anything away. People certainly know what went on that night. You can't spoil the plot of this movie. But there's a backstory. There's a moment throughout the movie. There's the story of Don Drysdale, the pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who was setting the record for consecutive scoreless innings. And I remember this, Christian, from that night. I remember that we were all listening in the ballroom waiting for Robert Kennedy to come down. Everyone was following whether or not he was going to break the record. And, of course, Robert Kennedy actually makes mention of it that night. Because
I know. It's fantastic.
It is. And, again, one of the things that your character gets to do is to connect to people that he otherwise wouldn't relate to through something as simple yet powerful as this shared moment of pride in something that's happening in their city.
Yeah, I mean, that moment for me was probably the most powerful moment as far as, you know, just capturing the humanity and that bonding moment between these guys in the movie that have been so adversarial all throughout. And you just see the simplest things can bring people together and also the most tragic things. I mean, you can see how, you know, Bill Macy's character comes to my aid. And so the bullet ends up becoming the great equalizer and all those silly, petty things that we spend so much time, you know, getting focused on And the little small battles that we have, really just everything goes away at the end of the day when we're really faced with serious, tragic situations.
That's exactly right. You are terrific in this film. It is a revelation to see these characters and so many people. I mean, Sharon Stone, Demi Moore, I mean, some unbelievable performances.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, whether I was in the movie or not, I remember sitting there and just each character kind of coming over me in waves and each part of their humanity just affecting me. And I got to know all these characters, then to have it all culminate in the end in the way that it does with that incredible speech that Bobby Kennedy made at Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral really, really blew me away. I mean, it's been such an eye-opening experience for me on so many levels.
You've been to some of the premieres, I gather, and the film festivals. This film around the world has been getting an extraordinary response.
Yeah, it has. It's been great. I think it was brilliant to Europe and to hear Europeans say, this is the America we remember and the America we miss.
It's funny because there is also that contrast in this film. You see this America and the promise of America, and you sort of look around and go, and why don't we have that now?
Right, exactly. No, I mean, people like Bobby Kennedy, they were able to inspire everyone and had faith that we could all move in a particular direction. I think a movie like this certainly helps to remind us that there was a point in time when we were going in that direction and maybe we could get back in that direction again.
Well, Christian Slater, thank you for joining us on Politically Direct. You said faith, and we're going to go out now with the song which ends the movie, Never Gonna Break My Faith. You're listening to Politically Direct on Air America Radio. The film is Bobby. Go out and see it. It's a tremendous film. Christian Slater, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
To AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. An Iraqi appeals court has upheld Saddam Hussein's conviction and death sentence. CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston says the hanging could happen within 30 days.
While the death sentence is supposed to be signed by Iraq's president and two vice presidents, a spokesman for the high tribunal court that convicted Saddam says the Iraqi judicial system will make sure Saddam is executed even if the elected officials refuse to ratify the death penalty.
Security will likely be very tight around the country for the verdict. Baghdad International Airport was closed and a curfew imposed. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has reportedly signed orders to send the 82nd Airborne 2nd Brigade to Kuwait soon. It could be part of a short-term surge in forces. But CBS News military analyst Mike Lyons also believes the execution may have something to do with it.
With this decision about executing Saddam Hussein within a month, Secretary Gates wants to have more troops on station close to the battle where things could eventually get out of hand very quickly.
Democratic Senator Joseph Biden, who is running for president, said today he opposes any increase in American troop strength. Here's correspondent Howard Arenstein.
The incoming chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee is campaigning against a troop surge in Iraq.
It's the absolute wrong strategy.
Joe Biden says the right thing to do is to force a political settlement with the cooperation of neighboring countries.
This cannot have a stamp on it made in America.
Biden plans a lengthy Senate review on Iraq next month.
We're going to begin on January the 9th with roughly 3 weeks of hearings that will include administration witnesses, including the Secretary of State.
He says it's clear to him the U.S. cannot unilaterally impose order in Iraq. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
It was a day to shop. You did so before Christmas, but the bargains were even better today.
I'm still out buying. There's nothing wrong with 50% off, 75% off, 80% off. Keep taking it off and I'll keep getting it in.
Correspondent Bill Whitaker reports retailers are hoping these after-Christmas sales will help make up for their pre-Christmas blues.
Panic price slashing spurred a last-minute shopping frenzy, but it wasn't enough to cross the Christmas finish line on a high. No final government numbers until next month, but Visa is a good benchmark. Spending by the credit card's millions of customers rose 6.5% this Christmas season. Not bad, but last year was much better. Up 8.3%. So today, stores with piles of unsold inventory are enticing shoppers with steep discounts, extended hours, even new merchandise, turning day after sales into week after sales.
Online businesses are reporting strong pre-Christmas sales. Amazon.com says it had its best Christmas ever. On Wall Street today, the Dow finished up 64 points at 12,407, and the Nasdaq Composite Index was higher as well by 12 points. This is CBS News.
Coffee?
Thanks.
Introducing Splenda, flavor blends for coffee and French vanilla, mocha, and hazelnut. They add delicious flavor that takes you someplace else.
Mmm. I'm ready for takeoff. Ah, smell that luscious vanilla air. Wow, I'm good. I could do this on one ski. I am on one ski. Shimmering vanilla moguls beckon. I see gold medals.
Miss, please, sit down. The captain has turned on the seatbelt sign.
Oh, sure. Right.
New Splenda, flavor blends for coffee. Visit them at VanillaFlavorBlends.com. Find them in the coffee aisle.
Are you thinking about buying one of those inexpensive memory foam mattresses? Think again. Tempur-Pedic is the only mattress made from authentic Tempur material. The one that shapes and contours to your body, guaranteeing a restful, rejuvenating night's sleep. Those knockoffs don't even come close. Call Tempur-Pedic today at 1-800-805-3495, and they'll send you a free video, a sample of the proprietary Tempur material, and a 90-day trial certificate. You won't get that from those other guys. Tempur-Pedic is the real deal. Call 1-800-805-3495.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair was on a British Airways plane that ran over a couple of lights at Miami Airport's runway today. The pilot couldn't see the runway clearly. No one was hurt. That flight originated in London. In Florida also, a bill has been introduced that would give felons their voting rights back after they serve their sentences. Its sponsor is a legislator who is a convicted felon. An album cover signed by all four Beatles may have set a record at auction. Bill Vitka reports.
It was 1964, and all four of the Beatles were riding a train to Washington for a concert. Harrison's sister Louise was there as well, and had them autograph the band's first U.S. release on Capitol, Meet the Beatles. That album jacket has now been sold at auction for more than $115,000. The buyer wants to remain anonymous, but it's believed that price sets a record for a signed Beatles album sold at public sale. Bill Vitka, CBS News.
I'm Cammy McCormick, CBS.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Best of Eco Talk with Betsy Rosenberg on Air America Radio.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
Well, welcome to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and I must warn you, today's program is filled with urgency. All the news here may not be pleasant, but we here at Eco Talk feel compelled to treat environmental issues with the very urgency that they so deserve, and we respect your intelligence enough to know that you will, when you hear about it, be outraged and want to know what you can do about it. And fortunately, we are never short on real practical solutions, and we'll give you the call to action as well. Well, have we reached the end of the line when it comes to overfishing of our oceans? Will coal companies profit off the explosion of every mountaintop in West Virginia? What will it take to stop the madness? Will the people of that state have to suffer so much as we continue to fuel our consumption of coal? Rainforest Action Network says there is a bombing campaign going on right here in the United States. We'll hear about that from RAND's Scott Parkin. He'll tell us about the damage being done. And then we'll hear from local West Virginia activist Larry Gibson. He'll tell us what it's like to have mountaintops blown right off every side of your home. In our second half, denial of course, is more than a river in Egypt, but it may be that as well, because pretty soon there may not be any more fish in the Nile or anywhere else for that matter. Daily Telegraph environmental editor Charles Clover will join us from the UK to talk about his incisive new book just out called The End of the Line, very topical indeed, how overfishing is changing the world and what we eat. Topical, of course, because it comes on the heels of Boris Worm's research that said by the year 2050, many of the fish we're used to eating will be gone from the ocean. That research that made the researchers' hair on his neck stand up on end. That's pretty dramatic when that happens. And finally, we'll take a slightly lighter turn with Tree Hugger Thursday. Correspondent Simran Sethi will be talking about energy. Want to thank one of our partners that helped make EcoTalk possible, the Union of Concerned Scientists, a science-based nonprofit combining independent research and citizen action to achieve innovative solutions for a healthy environment and a safer world. You can find them on the web at ucsusa.org. I want to welcome our first guest now. He is a political activist to be reckoned with as global finance campaigner with Rainforest Action Network. Scott Parkin recently took a trip in West Virginia and saw firsthand the environmental devastation caused by clear-cutting mountaintops, a cheap and archaic practice of coal mining which destroys the land and exposes citizens in the region to numerous toxic fallout. Parkin is here to discuss the links between these ugly practices and Wells Fargo Bank, and he's going to tell you how you can get involved. Welcome to EcoTalk.
Thanks for having me, Betsy.
Certainly, the filthiness of mountaintop mining and the danger is not something that EcoTalk listeners are new to hearing, but tell us why the attempts to really stop this are getting more aggressive and what RAND is doing to really expose this and try to make it stop.
Well, the attempts to curtail mountaintop removal are rooted in how the process is destroying rural Appalachia. Not only destroying rural Appalachia mountains and ecosystems and burying rivers and streams and in thousands of pounds of waste, but it's also destroying Appalachian culture. The people there are suffering. It's creating a situation where people are having their homes blown off the foundations. It's creating water quality issues. It's creating problems with the way in which people are treated every day by the coal companies. And so we're not only seeing environmental destruction, but we're also seeing a human impact as well.
I remember a few years back, one of the Goldman Prize winners, the Environmental Fund in San Francisco, the awards it's given out every year, one of the recipients was a woman from Appalachia. I can't recall her name right now.
Judy Bond.
Yes, she was amazing, the accent and all. And she talked about how when she took her five-year-old grandson fishing in the river and saw, you know, the waste you're talking about from the mountaintop mining, you know, clogging up river after river, how she became active. And she won that award, and I guess I kind of assumed that they had stopped doing that, au contraire.
Oh, no.
That was 3-4 years ago.
It's still happening in full force. The coal companies, we've actually seen peak coal already in the region, but the coal companies decided to take the last little bit out, and there's
it's nice to know there's peak coal. I thought it was just endless, the supply. They would have you think that.
No, there's
cheap and abundant.
There's probably about 2 decades left of coal out there in rural Appalachia. And coal companies like Massey Energy and Alpha Natural Resources are very interested in giving every little last piece out. And they, of course, are being funded by a whole host of financial agents or financial institutions. The one in which we at Rainforest Action Network have been focusing on most has been Wells Fargo, who has given numerous lines of credit to various coal companies.
The ones you just mentioned, the biggest players?
Yes.
Massey, for one?
Yes, we see that they've pulled out of Massey, but
because of your protest?
That's what we think. They actually won't confirm that.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
They're a big player.
Right.
And what do they say when you take this to them? Because they don't like bad publicity any more than any other corporate entity, and this is a pretty bad one, especially because they're trying to have a more environmental image. Recently, they announced that they're using some renewable energy sources, and as they cultivate a greener image, this obviously is going to haunt them if it's not addressed. You're going to haunt them, you personally. You're going to make sure they're haunted.
When we talk to them, they like to say that they're already taking steps to kind of pull themselves out of the mining sector. And what we're saying is you really kind of need to show us and kind of walk your walk to match the talk in which you're talking. So it's still kind of a bit of a back and forth in our campaign with Wells.
Where do you see this all going, this hunger for coal, as we start to recognize that we have hit peak oil, and this administration's response is to, you know, go after more coal? And is there such thing as clean coal technology in your view?
Where I see this going is I see eventually we're going to, because of peak oil and peak coal, we're going to have to eventually shift to renewables.
Because there's such a, you know, demand for coal, and is there clean coal technology, or is that just an advertisement we see on television by some of the, you know, coal industry players?
That's something that we're still discussing at RAND. Mm-hmm. We'd like to think that maybe we should go for just no new coal in general and not go for the cleaner coal. There are some within the environmental community which disagree with us.
The gasification process.
Right,
yeah,
the IGCC.
Yeah.
And we tend to lean more towards no new coal in general, mm-hmm. but we haven't made an official statement on that. We're still discussing it.
Okay, so getting back to the core, though, the actual mining of coal on mountaintops, is that going on as much as ever? And, you know, are there no restrictions in place? And the devastation, you know, we're going to hear about firsthand in our next segment from someone who lives right where this happens. But it's out of sight, out of mind for many Americans. What should we know about, you know, what takes place each and every day?
To fuel our consumption is our power consumption. Over half of the power generated in the United States is generated by coal. And while a small percentage of it is coming from mountaintop removal coal, it's devastating roughly 4 states out there, West Virginia, Virginia, Kentucky, and North Carolina.
What does it look like when a mountaintop has been removed, when you fly over after a mountaintop has been removed?
It looks like a moon crater. They're essentially blowing the tops off of it. They blow the tops off of the mountains, and then they use bulldozing equipment and just push it off the side of the mountain, where they've actually been creating natural dams where they put a lot of their mine waste. And so it's creating a moonscape in Appalachia. Some allies of ours, Appalachian Voices, have created a website where you can look at the over 400 mountains which have been devastated by mountaintop removal. And a lot of the coal companies don't actually like it to be public knowledge, and so nonprofits in the region have actually gotten together to kind of help expose this and put the information out on the web and expose it to the media.
Okay, if our listeners are ready to blow their tops, they're angry, what else can they do about it?
They can get involved with Rainforest Action Network's campaign against Wells Fargo. They can see what they can do to support the coal groups in Appalachia, in West Virginia, Virginia, places like that. Massey Energy is still very much a force in West Virginia. Their CEO just recently participated very much by giving $2 million to local Republican candidates in West Virginia. So you can look into Coal River Mountain Watch. You can look into the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition. You can look into App Voices and what you can do to support them. Or if you're here locally in the Bay Area, you can see what you can do to help Rainforest Action Network.
And also just to make sure that you support any legislation that's going to increase our, you know, investment in renewable energy technologies and sources.
Absolutely. And you need to push renewables. You need to look at hybrid vehicles. You need to look at what you can do to cut down on your own energy consumption.
Mm. I was just at a conference of mayors meeting in Sundance, Utah, for a couple of days, hearing what cities are doing, some 40 mayors represented around the country, to combat climate change. And there's a lot of excitement, actually, about renewable energy implementation. It's really happening. So there is some good news. I had to interject that because between our fishing story and this coal story, it's pretty grim. But thank you for making sure that we all know about what's going on behind the scenes, out of sight, out of mind. Cannot be business as usual anymore. Thank you for your good work.
Thank
Scott Harkin with Rainforest Action Network. He is a global campaign organizer, and one of the things that they're organizing is some action against Wells Fargo, trying to raise awareness about how that bank, big bank around here on the West Coast, is funding some companies that are participating in this mountaintop coal mining. We'll be back right after these messages with another side of this dirty story.
This is the best of Eco Talk on Air America Radio.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Welcome back to Eco Talk. We are continuing our conversation on mountaintop mining in West Virginia. I think because we have a new affiliate in West Virginia, I think this is how we're celebrating in our own Eco Talk sort of way. I want to expose the dirty truth about mountaintop mining, and who better to do that than Larry Gibson, a local citizen and activist whose life has been deeply affected by living near clear-cut mountains in nearly every direction. He's dedicated himself to making sure that mining industries do not profit from the destruction of West Virginians' health and habitat, but he faces considerable opposition, as you might imagine, from coal companies, well-oiled public relations machines, as evidenced at the hearing in capital city of Charleston. He's going to tell us about that this week. And as Larry's grandfather always told him, when people come around and start telling you how good they are to you, you know there's trouble. Thank you for joining us, Larry Gibson. You can smell a rat you can see a rat when you smell it or something like that.
Anytime anybody's telling you what's good for you, then, yeah. But, you know, you should have stopped them before you get to that point. Yeah.
And what do you know is not good for you and your community members?
Well, what I do know for certain what's not good for me is the fact that mountaintop removal and the destruction of the land and the trees and the environment and the water, everything that the people around this globe take for granted as far as quality life, we are losing here every day on a day-to-day basis. Our life, our air, our water, everything we need to sustain life, our land, our environment.
Now, I understand you've been an activist for some time, and you were the lone holdout in that article that I remember reading and was just shocked by in Vanity Fair a few years back, how they were surrounding you and you refused to leave.
Actually, this year, and I am still the last holdout as far as, my home up on the mountain. My family owned that mountain for 230 years on the top of it anyhow. And, there's too much history there to how do you walk away from your heritage and your past, I just don't think he can do that.
I remember interviewing a woman activist, Judy Bonds, I believe her name was, that they called mountaintop mining, strip mining on steroids. Would you agree with that assessment?
Pretty much.
Mm.
Yeah,
now,
that covers it.
When did they move in and start doing this in a big way, since you've been around a while?
In a big way, they started preparation for this type of mining in 86. Then there was thunder in the distance. You know, on a clear day, I could hear thunder. Like most people, I didn't know what was going on, but as closer to thunder got, you know, you'd hear 10, 12, sometimes more dynamite blasts a day, then you knew that something was taking place that wasn't on the ordinary, you know, meaning this wasn't natural.
Now, I understand they tried to buy you out, and they have a lot of money, because you say on your in your video that we're going to have a link to on our website that just the powder alone for one blast of a mountaintop costs $1 million.
Oh yes, it was called a $1 million blast that was set off on property right next to mine, 1999, and it was called a $1 million blast for simply it cost that much for the material. They use ammonia nitrate, diesel fuel, and fertilizer, and it was the largest non-nuclear blast since World War II.
So when you say, let's have a blast, you don't mean let's have a party. And there's probably not a lot of neighbors left around to party with. I understand you're really kind of lonely up there.
Well, I am by myself up there. You know, before he dropped the mountains down in the time that they destroyed a half million acres in West Virginia, I've only saved 50. You know, so as far as the destruction, they have made more progress with me. And as far as my land, yes, you're right. They did offer me not a great deal of money. They told me in 1993 that my land was worth $1 million an acre to the industry. Then they turned right around and told me that they were going to do me a favor. They were going to take me out of the wilderness and give me some money to get on with my life. And they offered me $140,000.
They're going to send you off to the city. You said no way.
Well, even a mountain person 2,400 feet in the air can understand that $1 million an acre as opposed to $140,000 for the whole thing, even if it was for sale, it was nothing. There was no negotiations. And since I surveyed it, I forced the industry back onto their boundaries. And since then until now, I've had 122 acts of violence, vandalism, shootings, burning in my cabins, shot one of my dogs twice, tried to hang another one twice, run me off the road on purpose, turned me upside down the creek, two people sat on the bank and laughed at me, didn't make any attempt to help me get out. I've been shot at least 5 times myself.
What keeps you staying there?
That's the most popular question that's been asked of me is, what keeps me going, you might say.
What keeps you staying?
What keeps me going is the fact that I'm right. I'm right. If I give up my principles, if I give up my beliefs, if I give up my heritage, my culture, then they truly win. You know, that's not going to happen. They got to be something in your life and mine and the people that's going to be listening to this program. They got to be something that can't be bought by a dollar bill.
God bless you.
Yeah, this I always say. I mean, I've seen probably 15,000 people on my mountain. Last year alone, 756 people that come to see me from all around the world. And the one thing I asked them this, what do you hold so dear to your life that you, in your own circle of life, that you don't have a price on it? What would it be? How far would you go to stand for it?
Larry,
I know.
And
I know what it is.
And you're offering to take people on tours from above.
Oh, sure. We take people on tours. We give people flyovers that are no expense to them. All you have to do is just call and make arrangements with me.
We'll put up a link. That's great, Larry. I'm afraid we're out of time. If you'd like to help him, find a link at our website. See what you can do to support this man and his courage. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the best of Eco Talk on Air America Radio.
Win fast, win often.
The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
We're stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because it got tangled up with all these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me is that a problem? Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Welcome back to EcoTalk, and in a recent review of Charles Clover's new book, The End of the Line, the magazine The Economist said, quote, here is the world's fishing industry laid bare, gutted and filleted for all to see. The greed, the folly, the waste, the destruction. You will never look at a fish supper in the same way again, end quote. Well, today we are joined by the author of this important book, Mr. Clover, the environmental editor for the UK newspaper Daily Telegraph, discussing The End of the Line, how overfishing is changing the world and what we eat. Thank you for staying up late to talk to EcoTalk. Talk and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, we've been covering this issue quite a bit. Just in the last couple of weeks, there was this sobering report out about how by the year 2048, many main commercial species of fish will be gone from the ocean, combination of pollution, global warming, overfishing. But this is such a, this is one of those groundbreaking pieces of research and shocking, results that just warrant, going deeper. So thank you for writing this book. Very timely indeed. And tell us what prompted you to do it.
Well, I suppose I'm a fisherman myself in a funny little way. I fish with a fly for salmon and sea trout, and I tend to put them back because there aren't too many of them anymore. And I used to worry about why that was. In the mid-80s, when nobody else did much, and this sort of one thing led to another.
Now, your book is well over 300 pages. I imagine when you started this book, things were not quite as dire as they appear to be today, or did you know how bad things were, and that's why you set out to do this ambitious project?
Well, I was convinced a long time before some people were that there was a big global problem, which we now realize, thanks to Boris Wurm's paper in Science the other day, there actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this extraordinary that I was thinking this in about the late 80s when I began to get interested in commercial fishing. I thought, well, you know, what, the salmon aren't coming back. What's going on in the sea? So I'll take a look around. And it happened to be my job to look at, you know, agriculture, fisheries, and the wider environment. And I started taking an interest in this kind of commercial fishing. And I spoke to a man in a port in Peterhead, which is in the east of Scotland, and is our sort of our equivalent of Gloucester, Massachusetts, another port I'm familiar with. And this guy, people were making the usual platitude noises about the scientists got it all wrong, there are more fish in the sea. And this guy just took me by the elbow and took me into his office, and he said, do you want to know the real story about this? They used to have fish as big as a man. Now the fish are barely as big as your hand. This is a problem.
Hmm.
And I thought, yeah, he's right. And this was in about 1991. And the amazing thing was that the official statistics didn't say that at all. But I became convinced it was true. And I kept puzzling about this official statistics thing, because the official statistics put together by the UNFAO, Food and Agriculture Organization, and they are supposed to be the Bible. And then, a long time later, I read in Nature Dan Pauly and Reg Watson's paper that destroyed those official statistics and showed why they were a lie.
Something fishy about those official statistics, huh? Sorry, going for a little bit of levity here in this otherwise...
It's pretty gloomy around here otherwise, yeah. And what Dan proved was that the communist Chinese officials, of course, have to have all graphs going up, so they just invented fish to feed the graphs, if you like. And that's why the world's fish statistics were completely cooked up, if you excuse the expression.
Okay, the end of the line, how overfishing is changing the world and what we eat. How close are we to the end of the line, and what should we expect to see if we don't change course immediately, dramatically?
Well, I see no reason to dispute Boris Wurm's projections in Science the other week that if we continue on the trajectory of the past 50 years, we will end up with a collapse in the world's currently fished commercial stocks by around 2050. Of course, the human race doesn't necessarily behave like that. The wonderful thing about the human race is that actually when things do look pretty grim, it puts in a body swerve and it says, well, you know, totalitarianism is obviously a rubbish idea, let's do something else. So I'm hoping that when we actually get it around the place that this is that kind of crisis, which we haven't realized and weren't warned soon enough by the officials, by the official statistics, that maybe we'll just do something that good. And that quickly.
How big a problem is the United States? We know when it comes to another issue that has been so far mostly denied, global warming, we're, you know, one of the worst on the list. When it comes to per capita consumption of seafood, aren't we hitting an all-time high here in this country?
You're hitting an all-time high, but the average consumption of fish by Americans is extraordinarily low by global standards per capita. It's very, very low.
Because we're mostly meat eaters, I guess. Still.
Yeah, people on the East Coast eat a lot of fish. People on the West Coast eat a lot of fish. People in the Middle don't eat a lot of fish at all. The Japanese eat the most fish in the world. The Europeans eat more fish than the Americans.
Of course, we're starting to love sushi quite a bit.
The world is starting to love sushi.
Yes.
And,
is that a big problem?
But I don't think the tuna love sushi too much. It is a huge problem. There aren't very many responsible, there aren't any responsibly managed tuna fisheries. They have tried to find some, and they don't exist. There are no sustainably managed, certified tuna fisheries, because none of them are run right yet.
Now,
it's a problem.
There's legal and illegal fishing. What's the bigger, I mean, obviously illegal fishing is the bigger problem, but is that the minority or the majority of what's leading to this overfishing problem?
And the thing that actually staggers me is that in places like the EU, which is actually one of the great black holes for fishery management on the planet, every other cod that is caught illegally, and more than every other hake. That's the top fish in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And so to answer your question before that about the U.S. The U.S. isn't that bad. The interesting thing about the U.S. is the U.S. is the worst in the world at admitting that it is responsible for global warming. But actually, it's done pretty well on its fisheries. And the place that is really incompetent about its fisheries for reasons of governance is the EU, because the EU not only collapsed the fisheries in its own waters, but is exporting that collapse to the rest of the world through subsidizing its fleets to go and fish in every single country in Africa's waters.
Well, that's somewhat surprising, because on other sustainability issues, many countries, at least in the EU, are ahead of us.
Well, that's what's so extraordinary, and the EU loves to project this sort of green aura and to lecture other people about how green it is, but on fisheries, it is the very reverse.
And what about Japan? Just this week, the Japanese government commenced a new season of whale hunting, despite what's, you know, long been an international outcry against this. Why has whale hunting received, you know, a lot of media exposure while the other practices have not, and are they not at all vulnerable to the, you know, global pressure?
Well, obviously, what's happening with the fish is what started with the great whales. I mean, mm-hmm. they were just bigger hunks of meat, and mm-hmm. people went out to get them sooner,
mm-hmm.
and bigger hunks of oil. We're catching a lot of fish for oil to this day to feed to carnivorous fish in fish farms. And a lot of the small wild fish that we catch to feed to farm salmon, for example, are overfished in their own right. And this was one of the things that got me going on this this odyssey around the world, if you like, was that in the early 90s, when I talked to that guy in Peterhead, I then went to Denmark. I went to the place where the northern hemisphere capital of industrial fishing, where they used to catch these things called sand eels, which I think in the east coast of the United States is called sand lance. And they used to catch nearly 1 million tons of these in the North Sea every year. And the Danes had caught so much that year that they didn't know what to do with all the oil. And they were burning it in power stations. And believe it or not, that still happens in Alaska today.
So as far as the whale hunting, is that something we should be concerned about, or do we have bigger problems to bigger fish to fry? Sorry about that.
Well, I think the world's conservation groups have got on to the problem of the unsustainability of whale hunting, and that is not the concentration, the focus of my book, because I felt that one was taken care of. I mean, it is very concerning what the Japanese are doing. It's very concerning what Iceland is doing, hunting fin whales, which are endangered, outside the IWC rules. But this is not my focus, because I feel that, you know, Greenpeace and all these conservation groups have clocked onto that one.
Okay,
what concerned me in the mid 90s was that Greenpeace weren't clocking this other big marine issue, and now they have, to their credit.
Okay, we have just about 2 minutes left. What should we do? What must be done now?
We need to fish much more selectively, and as consumers, we need to exert choice, and we need to vote with our feet or our pocketbooks and wallets for the right fish over the wrong fish. In UK and Europe, there has been a revolution in the supermarkets in the past year, because the customer has finally realized that this really matters.
And what about bottom trawling? That has to be banned outright immediately, does it not? And that's going to come up in the Congress here in this country very soon.
Certainly, and at the UN. Bottom trawling in the deep sea, in the deep ocean, where we know nothing about what species we're catching, where we know nothing about how sustainable that is, that must be banned, certainly. There are certain forms of bottom trawling which are fine, but those are in much shallower waters on gravelly bottoms and for completely different species. But this stuff that's going on in what are effectively the rainforests of the deep sea must stop.
Do you have hope or despair, or both?
It's a sort of bit of both. I mean, I am actually optimistic, because I have seen these places around the world where people have just put a ring around a piece of ocean and said, just let's leave that alone to see what can come back. And the sea delivers many times more fish, many times more organisms than you would ever imagine.
If humans take this on in a big way and quickly.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Charles Clover, for your important new book, The End of the Line, How Overfishing is Changing the World and What We Eat. When we come back, Tree Hugger Thursday will lighten up just a little bit.
The best of Eco Talk.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, or a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Welcome back to Eco Talk, and Tree Hugger Thursday is up next, brought to you by the Organic Coffee Company. They want to remind all of us that organic coffee is better tasting, better for us, better for the environment, and better for the workers that harvest the coffee. Buy delicious roaster fresh organic coffee today on the web at organiccoffeecompany.com. Taste a difference, make a difference at organiccoffeecompany.com.
I'm Simran Stacey from treehugger.com, the leading pure environmental site on the internet. Eager to see what the midterm shift of power will mean for the environment. For example, while California's proposal to tax oil companies to fund alternative fuels failed, Proposition 87 won more than 3 million votes statewide and highlighted the increasing need to break away from fossil fuels. Energy experts have said that the support garnered by the proposition won't be lost on businesses and policymakers. Michael Dorsey, professor of environmental studies and director of Dartmouth College's Climate Justice Project, weighs in.
Proposition 87, the biggest benefit for California and really for the nation is that it scopes the pathway for cleaner air. That's the real big benefit. I mean, that means healthier kids, that means healthier environment, that means more beautiful vistas for beautiful states like California. The second thing that it does is it creates less dependence on oil, and in particular it creates less dependence on foreign oil. How does it do that? It opens up space in the marketplace for biofuels, for wind, for solar.
And does a Democratic Congress mean a greener government?
A Democratic Congress doesn't necessarily mean a greener Congress. We have to really be honest with ourselves and remember that there were Democratic administrations that signed us in to some fairly bad trade deals like NAFTA that pushed other bad trade deals that had negative implications for the environment like the WTO. These all happened underneath Clinton. What a Democratic Congress means is a more accountable Congress. It means a Congress free of scandal. It means a Congress that is really going to hold the president accountable. It means a Congress where we can get out of the deadlock of kickbacks, rollbacks, scams that plagued the Republican Congress.
To that end, voters approved 77% of tax or bond initiatives related to funding land conservation that were on the ballot in 23 states, according to research by California's Trust for Public Land. 99 of 128 measures passed, the majority of which were in the so-called blue states. And Treehugger sends green love to those voters who helped place $5.73 billion in the hands of local and state leaders to help fund land conservation. Meanwhile, a drop in oil prices helped shrink the U.S. trade deficit for September, after hitting an all-time high the month before. Oil import prices fell for the first time in 5 months, but our trade imbalance with China soared. Another area where China is soaring is as the world's biggest contributor to global warming. According to the International Energy Agency, by 2009, China will surpass the United States in carbon dioxide emissions, nearly a decade ahead of previous predictions. As a so-called developing nation, China is exempt from Kyoto Protocol requirements for CO2 reductions. Unregulated emissions from China, India, and other developing countries are likely to account for most of the global increase in CO2 emissions over the next 25 years. If unchecked, the IEA says the global demand for energy will grow 53% by 2030. Oil consumption will jump to 116 million barrels a day, and the demand for coal will rise 59%. Coal, the Sunflower Electric Power Corporation is poised to build 3 coal-fired plants in southwest Kansas. While the new plants would increase Sunflower's total generating capacity nearly sevenfold, most of the new power would be exported to Colorado, while the pollutants would blow all over Kansas. Craig Volland, chair of the Kansas Sierra Club's Air Quality Committee, explains.
Local impact will be primarily from additional particulates from this facility, not just the stacks, but the handling of coal and the ash, which will be tremendous because they're using low BTU coal from Wyoming, which has a lot of ash involved. And then the regional impact, including eastern Kansas, would be from mercury emissions. And also it's possible from very fine dust or particulates that can travel a longer distance.
If built, the plants will belch out about 13 million tons of carbon dioxide a year to become the largest new source of greenhouse gas in the United States. But there are alternative ways of generating power.
Well, of course, Kansas has the third largest wind power potential in the country, so it's obvious that the utility companies of Kansas should be looking at wind power first.
Also on the windy tip, Southwest Wind Power's SkyStream 3.7 has been named one of Time Magazine's best inventions of 2006. The SkyStream is a wind turbine designed especially for home and small business use. It's installed on a 35-foot tower, connects to standard utility hookups, and can start turning in breezes as low as 8 miles per hour. And what magic can it work on your energy bill? Marketing manager Miriam Robbins has more.
SkyStream 3.7 is a new wind generator that's been developed primarily for residential homes and small businesses. All the components that work for the wind generator, the controller, the inverter, are all within the body of the wind generator. So there's no added accessories or anything that you need. And it connects directly into the electrical grid. So you can work with your utility to have the SkyStream running on the same system as you do for your general power that you get from your utility. With a wind speed of about 12 miles per hour average, you can produce about 400 kilowatt hours a month. And that can range anywhere from a third to 80% of a typical American home, depending on your energy usage and how efficient you are.
With installation, the turbine will run you about $10,000. Finally, a green cooking tip from Super Chef Mario Batali via Forbes.com, courtesy of LaSalle's Linton, Tree Hugger's favorite tipster at large. Batali tells Forbes that as a child, his family would save energy by wrapping salmon in plastic and poaching it in the dishwasher. We haven't vetted that one, and we're not really so sure about the plastic. But if you have tried it out, and your fish comes from within 100 miles of your home, join our 100-mile Thanksgiving Challenge, sponsored by Organic Valley. To submit your recipes and find out more, log on to treehugger.com. Thanks to CalabashMusic.com for our soundtrack, and to you for listening.
Thank you to our friends at Tree Hugger, and thank you to our new friends at the Organic Coffee Company. Tune in for the next edition of Eco Talk. We'll be talking with a guy named Scoop Nisker about eco-spirituality, how we can all be more enlightened in a green way. Also with the author of a new book about how Germany is becoming an environmental steward leader.